The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls are beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're that much closer to the New York Jets coming to town to get their beat down, because that's what it's going to be. Patriots are going to beat down the Jets, take out all their frustrations after that disappointing loss in Seattle. The Patriots are a better team than 3-3. I know there's an old saying, you are what your record says you are, but come on, eyeball test. You know, a few mistakes corrected, and this team is close to 6-0. Let's face it. We're going to talk about all of that. What's going on with the secondary? Big article on ESPN Boston today. I don't know if it's a big article, but a controversial article about how maybe Brady has lost it in crunch time. You know, I beg to differ. If Russell Wilson can do what he did, are we saying that now Tom Brady can't? You know, we talked about it yesterday. Ball goes through Aaron Hernandez's hand. Is that Tom Brady's fault? I don't know. We'll talk about it. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. The guys will be here shortly. They're in the locker room. You know, I think that the theme this week is pretty much has been pretty quiet. I mean, yesterday there was hardly anybody in the locker room, and, you know, they quickly wanted to move on from Seattle. I don't blame them for wanting to do that. But, you know, other than Kyle Arrington, there hasn't been much talk about, oh, the rivalry and beating the Jets, and it's Jets week and AFC East and all that stuff. A little bit, you know, how important it always is to win your division game, but really not kind of focusing on the Jets per se. All that talk's been coming from New York. Today, what Calvin Pace said, that the Patriots' up-tempo running game was almost illegal. I don't know where that's coming from. Of course, the Jets Rex Ryan talking about how they're not going to lay down, but at the same time, you know, saying if it comes down to coaching, then the Patriots win because Bill Belichick's a better coach than me. I don't know why he feels the need to say that, because, of course, we know that. But, you know, it's just almost like this false humility that he's putting out there. It's just ridiculous. And then Cromartie saying that Patriots are now America's team. Probably the only thing I've ever agreed with him on. I agree with that, but there's probably some ulterior motive knowing him. You know, he's not a guy that likes the Patriots or Tom Brady or anything to do with us. So I find it curious that he said that. So all that talk about, you know, about the rivalry is really just coming from one side, the Jets. And you know, it kind of reminds me of when, you know, the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry was in its heyday. Most of that talk came from Boston, you know, and usually when you have a rivalry like that, all the braggadocio and the all that stuff usually comes from the team that feels on the short end of that stick. So I'm glad that the talk on the rivalry is coming from the New York side, because that means that, you know, they feel like they're not getting the better of it lately, and it's true. The Calvin Pace thing's interesting, that he thinks that the up-tempo running game is borderline illegal. I think he's also the same guy that said that the Wildcat was against the rules. So, you know, this is a guy who likes his football straight up vanilla, I guess, you know, and if you do anything different than that, then he thinks it's against the rules. So whether or not the Patriots employ that scheme this week, I don't know. They definitely have to run the ball. There's no doubt about it, but I don't know if they'll do it the same way they did it, you know, last time the Patriots at home. Paul's here.
Hi, Freddie.
Just came from the locker room. What's going on in there?
Not a whole lot.
No.
Very, very quiet. Hernandez came out at the very end of the media period. That's why I'm a little bit later than normal. He did admit, Aaron admitted that he was probably a step slow last week. Felt like he came out of the game okay. And, you know, looking forward to it. You know, he also admitted that when it initially happened against Arizona, he thought it was broken. But, you know, got some good treatment from the staff and worked hard and, you know, feels comfortable, confident now. He's not thinking about it. And, you know, I think presumably we'll get better, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Talked about the Jets being just another game.
Yep.
You know, they're back in the conference, so it's important, but it's just another game.
I was just talking about that.
Doesn't no buzz for this at all.
No, and I
agree with you.
I said that
no Jets Patriots buzz.
There's no Jets Patriots buzz, and any of the buzz is coming from the Jets side. And I said it kind of reminds me of when the Red Sox and Yankees were kind of in their rivalry days, and all the buzz came from the Red Sox side. The Yankees could have
see. I don't even see. I actually see it even differently. Like Rex Ryan yesterday. Like what happened to him? Like what did they do with Rex Ryan? Like I know that he made a big deal in the offseason of saying I felt like I put undue pressure on my players and I'm going to tone that back. But I never expected him to follow through to that extent against the Patriots, where he's talking about how great the Patriots defense is.
Well,
yesterday.
It's all the
he went to great lengths to say how underrated defensively they were. You know, things that he didn't have to say. I mean, obviously, they're the number one offense. You gotta give your props to that. But for him to say, you know, they're 39-4 since 2008 when winning the turnover battle, that's how they play defense. That's underrated. And that's, you know, people overlook that. But they force turnovers. And they're content to give up those yards because they have the offense that puts them in position. And like, what happened to Rex Ryan?
Well,
like, what did you do?
It's like this false humility.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that.
And he even said if it comes down to coaching, then they win.
Yeah, he's better than me.
Right.
You know, like, what have you done to our Rex Ryan?
Cromartie called Patriots America's team.
Great. He called them great. What is that all about?
I know.
This is the guy who called the quarterback an a-hole.
Right.
He's telling you how great Tom Brady is and that they are America's team.
I was just talking about that before you got here.
So I even think in New York, they're not really taking it the same way. Now, they're not going to roll over and die. They're going to come here expecting to win. They're going to come here, you know, playing hard and ready to win. But all the bravado that we're normally accustomed to in this rivalry is just non-existent. And I believe Aaron Hernandez when he says it's just another game, the way that they were talking today. You know, it's just in some ways it's probably better because you kind of get tired of that nonstop hype during the week. But it's just so out of character. It kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are, you know, they're battling, they're competing, but they're not the Jets of the last few years.
No, well, they've lost their best offensive and defensive player. That's hard to do.
There's no doubt about it. So that takes a lot of the luster out of this game.
Sure, you know? Certainly does. And, you know, you're looking at it now. I don't know. I'm sure that you felt differently, but I didn't feel during the Rex Ryan era that the Jets had to pull off an upset to beat the Patriots. I felt like if they played a good game and the Patriots played a good game, it would go down to the wire. I don't feel like that anymore. If the Patriots play a good game, this game ain't going down to the wire.
You don't think so?
No. The Patriots will win going away if they play well.
Well, what do you think? I mean, I think the Jets will compete.
I do too, but I don't think the Jets playing their best and the Patriots playing their best, I don't think.
Right.
And I understand that that's an easy thing to say, but if one team plays its best, the other team probably didn't play its best, and I understand. But what I'm saying is if the Patriots don't turn the ball over or the Jets you know, aren't able to force any mistakes and maybe get a special team. There's no, I don't think there's any way they can keep up with the Patriots. They could go out there and not turn the ball over,
right,
and play a good game and, you know, play hard on defense, but I don't think they have the offense to keep up unless the Patriots help them.
Yeah, and I think that a loss for the Patriots this week is devastating.
Devastating.
Devastating. You know?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, week seven, you don't want to say must win, but I think in terms of the psyche of the team and the evaluation of the team and just for themselves knowing who they are, this is a must win.
And in terms of noteworthy stuff in the locker room, Andy made an observation. We talked about the fact that they're wearing their throwback uniforms for this game. So the Pat Patriot helmets were out. All the white helmets were out. There were periodic flying Elvises at people's lockers, and most of them were very obvious. You know, Jake Ballard is on PUP. He's not playing. Guys that have yet to be activated. But there was one, so maybe six, seven, eight gray helmets still. You know, Jeff Tarpinian had a gray helmet, a guy on the practice squad. There were, you know, a handful of gray helmets of guys that aren't really eligible to play. One guy that kind of took us by surprise was Steve Gregory. He had a gray helmet on his locker.
Oh.
So we thought that was fairly noteworthy, and I know some of the other writers tweeted about it.
Tracy White, too, if you're interested in him.
Andy's,
he's another active.
Fred's into his beers a little bit early in the show.
Again, if there's a week, though, that, you know, hey, he could use an extra week, maybe, you know, as a safety, maybe this is it because you're not so worried about
I don't
Sanchez.
Have any of those weeks.
You know,
Russell Wilson just toasted you.
Yeah.
Anybody can toast you. I want guys back in the because that's what I'm doing if I'm the Jets. I'm saying Stephen Hill is my fast Georgia Tech run down the field receiver. Run down the field and I'll throw and you run to it. Literally, I think you have to start your game plan with X number of chances we're going to take down the field because we can win the game. Look at Seattle. They won that game, you know, other aspects of special teams and playing defense, but offensively, they won that game with big plays, getting the ball down the field almost solely.
Didn't the Ravens?
They run to a lesser degree, yes. I thought, you know, Ray Rice had 100-something yards that day.
But without those balls that Flacco's throwing up, they're not gaining those chunks of yards.
I mean,
you're absolutely right, but the Ravens, that's their offense.
Yeah.
This is Seattle's offense.
And Seattle didn't run. Yeah. The Ravens, Ray Rice had a good day.
Seattle runs the ball, and
Six plays for 200 yards or whatever, the bulk of that offense.
I mean, he completed a career-high completions. He has never completed 20 passes in a game. That's the second time he's completed 19, Russell Wilson. That's not what they do. The Ravens, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They run Ray Rice, and they take vertical shots.
So I don't know how you couldn't come in saying, we're going to do that. You know, I don't care that Mark Sanchez completes X percent of his passes or, you know, you hope Stephen Hill, if you're the Jets, is healthy and ready to get down the field. You know, maybe it's Curley. Maybe it's one of these other Jags they've brought in, but they got to get the ball down the field. That's how they're going to win this game because you're not going to run for 160 yards like you did last week. You're not going to do that against Vince Wilfork and Jerod Mayo and these guys.
All right, webradio@patriots.com.
By the way, you said for the psyche of the team.
Yeah.
I think you're really talking about the psyche of the Homer radio show host as well.
Oh.
If you're 3-4, you're going to be...
Well, that goes without saying.
You're going to be in trouble.
That goes without saying.
I will be staying away from you if they lose this game Sunday night.
Yeah, I
won't name any names, but, you know, there are a few players that felt that, not last game, but a couple games before, that they were hurt by some referee calls. You know, right or wrong. You know, at some point, you can't be saying that. If you lose to the Jets, I don't care how bad any calls were in the game. If you put yourself in the position that a referee call made the difference, then you lost the game on your own.
I agree.
You know,
100%.
So, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Do a quick phone call because food's
here. You guys
here.
Are very smart with your referee thing because you know that I'm ready to pounce.
Well, so you do it when he has his mouth full.
You can't blame it on the refs. No. You guys are right. You can't blame it on the refs. No, they stink, but you can't blame it on them.
Eric can.
Mark in West Palm Beach.
We'll only do that
line.
In print.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, Fred?
Good.
I listen all the time. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, and thank you for listening.
It's been so painful over the last couple of games. We're up 9 points. We're up 7 points. Before, we used to we'd close out all these games. Now I look at my wife and say, you know what? That's not enough. That losing anything close is a loss. It's crazy.
I've heard a lot of people say that they need to just start scoring more points in the second and third quarter to build up a massive lead so they can't possibly blow it.
Yeah.
It's like playing a golf match. You shoot 3-under on the front, you get on the back, you think, oh, I'm so good. They get so excited during the game, they're up 23-10 that, oh, we're going to run this right off the table. Next thing you know, you make two doubles. You go away saying, oh, my God, I shot 82. It's like, it's pathetic how they get so high, you know? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, when it comes down to...
God bless you if you're disappointed with an 82, buddy.
But it's, you know, it's...
You want to get high?
For 2 weeks, and then they can't run, you know? And I've been a high Brady fan up to the last Super Bowl we lost. You know, it's like, you can blame everyone else, but if you're making $20 million... Your bar is a lot higher than Ryan Mallett, who's making $1 million. You know what I mean? Whether he's been masking the bad defense all these years, now it's being exposed. Just one or two mistakes. You know, we can't throw the deep ball. I like what Andy's saying about the deep ball, you know. Set up the plays and then go deep. And then we're getting beat all the time. I mean, it seems like coaching to me. How could you pick that much bad talent? These guys have to be able to be coached, no?
Well, I mean, that's a lot of the criticism these days, you know, when trying to figure out what's going on with that secondary is these guys come in and they're not coached up. But the counter argument is that after they go somewhere else, they don't do any better.
So. And along those lines, I got a couple emails, and I don't know if they were to Web Radio or SPF, whatever, people saying, have you really gone back and looked, though, at how many good corners there were in the 08, 09, 10 drafts? And I just did a quick skim this morning on draft.com, and you look, and there really aren't a lot of names that jump off the board for you. And if that's true, I didn't do it. Again, there might be better talent a little bit than I looked at, but if that's true, as a team who needs it, that even more so says, I got to overpay.
You got to reach.
Well, no, I got to go spend $50 million on Jonathan Joseph or whoever you can get out there because you need a corner. We know that the weakest point on this team for a few years now has been the secondary and the cornerback play. If you need one, you got to figure out how to get it. And if they're not enough available in the draft and you can't get into the top five to get one, you got to bite the bullet and spend the money because you have to get one somehow. And you can't just keep hoping that that second-round developmental guy, you catch lightning in a bottle and he's great.
Well, and the other part, too, is...
You're not picking him. You know what I mean? You're not picking him in the draft. You're exactly right. At some point, stop picking him. Pick him late, like 3, 4, 5th round, whatever. And do what you said. We should have signed Asante back. He would have helped this defense out so much. I mean, just having one shutdown guy would make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. And that's, the, you know, what Andy talked about with the free agency. You know, put some money, put some resources into it for established guys like Houston did with Jonathan Joseph. But the other thing, too, and I've been sort of, you know, more critical of the talent than the coaching, but you are allowed to develop one or two of these guys too, you know, and, you know, you look at the guys that Seattle had, they weren't, you know, top five picks.
I know.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. I didn't know a whole lot about Richard Sherman and Brandon Browner until a week and a half before the Seattle game when I started doing some research and I was like, wow, these guys are pretty big. I just looking at the roster and looking at this, then I started reading some stories about them. Now, they've had their ups and downs too. They've struggled on third downs.
Yeah.
They're both very physical, so they pick up some penalties and stuff, but to me, that's developing. One of those guys came from the CFL, you said?
One's a CFL and one's a wide receiver. Yeah, None of them were, like, NFL caliber like cornerback
prospects. You're allowed to do that. You know, you're allowed to take a guy that maybe, maybe Rasai Dowling wasn't on everybody's radar, but you can turn him into Richard Sherman or Brandon Browner if you can.
But they didn't get lucky. They didn't get lucky picking these guys. It seems like they're coaching these guys up.
Right.
They've got a certain amount of skill set.
Some of it's luck.
I totally agree with you, Paul, with the way they evaluate players. They can do everything instead of doing one thing. That was a great point. I totally agree.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, when Andy and I sort of debated that yesterday, and you get it's dangerous when you speak in generalities. Andy's right. There are guys that, you know, like McCourty, they thought McCourty was a good player. They didn't just take him because he was well-rounded. But I do think, as a whole, they're more interested in what everything that the guy can do instead of one specific thing. And I think at that position, Andy mentioned this in the locker room today when we were talking about it, you know, it's probably the hardest thing to do. Cover. Be a cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you know, if maybe you look at it a little bit more closely like that, just get a guy who can cover.
Yeah. It's just like playing basketball when you're the offensive player. They don't know where you're going. You can go left or right. You have the total advantage.
Yep. All right. One more thing.
It seems like, you know, these teams are being coached now. Before it was like, oh, my God, we're up 10. You know, we could lose this game. Now they're being coached. Hey, these guys are blowing. Patriots are blowing this every single week. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that gives them more ambition to say, hey, we're down 10 in the fourth quarter. Who cares?
That's true.
We can still win it.
All right, Mark.
That swing is a lot. Hey, thanks. I'll call in again.
Okay. Don't be a stranger. Mark in West Palm Beach. All right. Give us a second to ingest some food. We'll be right back with your calls and emails on Jets Week.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Hey, you know, when Eric gets back, that girl that he was in the picture on Facebook, she's not bad looking.
She's cute.
So, but he seemed, again,
I agree.
You know, someone brings it up and he doesn't want to talk, you know.
Icky girls.
Maybe there was an incident afterwards. You know?
I doubt it.
She also looked pretty young, didn't you think?
That's what he goes after.
That's his sweet
spot. I know, but he's got no shot. This is my point.
She was wrapped around him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between being nice and being
interested. And he had his waffle shirt on. He was looking manly.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
No? But he just didn't want to. As soon as that picture came up, he got really upset.
He gets all defensive. He's super sensitive. He's a douche.
Oh, boy. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Steven in Miami writes in, I'm the furthest thing from a Jets fan, but that whole borderline illegal offense comment seemed definitely to be meant as complimentary. I believe Calvin Pace said he was jealous of the offense and wished the Jets were running it themselves.
That's how I took it. Why, are people taking it the other way?
I don't think so, because that's the same guy that said the Wildcat was against the rules. So I think he just doesn't like it when teams do things that are different.
Are we talking about like them saying how great the offense was and it's border? It should be illegal.
Yeah,
Calvin Pace.
I'm totally with Andy.
Yeah,
he couldn't have been more complimentary of or jealous. I think is probably the best word of how great the Patriots offense was.
I think he thinks it's against the rule or close to it.
No, I don't.
No,
like I said, he said the same thing about the Wildcat.
No, it's like boobs like that should be illegal or chicks dresses like that should be illegal.
No, I get that.
That's what he's saying.
I don't think he's
saying that. Yes, he is. Stop it.
No.
Do not try to create something.
He's the same guy that said the Wildcat should be against the rules. He doesn't think it should be legal.
Yeah, but what was the tenor of that?
Same thing.
He
doesn't
like this.
Well, I mean, the people that were there when he said it obviously took it the other way.
Yeah, they're like this Hubbock guy. I don't know if I can trust them.
The writers.
I don't know the story then, because the story that I read was totally the opposite. It was all about the verbal bouquets New York was throwing to the Patriots and how out of character it was for New York.
Maybe.
So I missed this story then. So maybe there's something I don't know about.
Okay.
Because I didn't see New York people saying that the Jets were
either.
Criticizing.
I only
the
read it
offense.
One spot. I don't really know where.
Okay.
And I certainly took it as, I mean, that old saying, like, a dress like that should be illegal.
Right. No, I get that. Yeah.
And I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
It's so freaking good and crazy that it should be illegal.
Ramon writes in, you guys do a great job. Seriously, I'm happy I discovered this show. Fred, yesterday you said that we may get beaten by a team we know less about, even though we are better than that team when referring to the Rams. Doesn't that add credence to the statement that we are a gimmick? No. It
lends credence to the belief that you are a game plan team,
that
coaching has a lot to do with it and not necessarily talent.
Right. You know, and that's happened before for the Patriots.
But I don't think that's a gimmick.
Yeah. Like Andy always said, if you're the best, just line up and be the best.
Woo!
If we could only beat someone because we know them, I can't be on board with the notion that we are better. Look at the track and field. Justin Gatlin is a great starter. Usain Bolt is a great finisher. That's their strength. Start well enough or finish well enough to win. However, when they race, wouldn't you expect the best person to win? One person's strength is obviously better than the other. Maybe a bad analogy, but you should get the point.
I get his point about the larger point. I don't necessarily agree with the whole gimmick thing. We said this yesterday, but I think that what he's saying is if you don't feel like you have the same knowledge of a team and that hurts your chances to win, then there is an element of you have to trick the team to beat them. And that's kind of gimmicky.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't necessarily buy that. I look at the Patriots' record against all teams. I mean, who's got a better record against the NFC than the Patriots? Those are teams that ostensibly you don't know as well.
Right.
And no one, and this is the, that's what's made this year so out of character, is they've lost two NFC teams, NFC games. They never lose the non-conference games. And those are the teams that you wouldn't know as well, right? But sure. I think if you're going to operate under the assumption that the teams that we don't know as well are the teams we struggle against, I think that lends credence to the fact that if you don't know them as well, you're not sure what they're going to do when you don't know what to do
right
to trick them.
But, I mean, haven't we always acknowledged that the NFL is probably the sport where coaching and game plans matter
the most?
Right.
I mean, there's not, especially in this day and age, there's not as much of, we're just going to line up and kick your ass because we're right. bigger and stronger and faster and tougher.
And with very few exceptions, those teams are bad nowadays.
Right.
I mean, Pittsburgh has been a team that succeeded for a long time doing that. There aren't many of those.
Right.
Let's go to
A quick one. Did anybody – I watched Michael Robinson, the Seahawks fullback, was wired up for the game.
Yeah.
Special teams captain, and I watched it last night.
Former Penn State quarterback.
Yeah, and I watched it last night. He was very funny, first of all. But one thing in particular, he's raving about the coaching. Like two or three different times they cut to him saying, yeah, that's a good coach football team. Did you see that? They're ready for like, it's like they knew what was coming. And I laughed out loud thinking, I don't think that's what the Patriots want you to say about them.
They did. Crash Davis told him what the pitch was.
But he made me laugh a lot. He was, you don't think of guys on the, maybe it's because he's a special teamer pretty much, but like it was like he really just loved being
he's
there on the
like,
sideline.
He's kind of like a backup catcher in baseball. He makes the best manager.
Really, yeah. He was really a spectator to the game.
Yes. Yeah. Like he was the perfect guy for that. Like Ray Lewis is entertaining, but he's into the game.
Right.
This guy was like observing everything going on.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. Yeah. How about that Wes Welcher?
Hey, I love Wes. I just wish we had two more a little bit bigger and a little bit faster with us. Because I don't see Branch doing too much. Oh, Lord. But you know what the main thing's getting me the most this week?
What?
Okay, Sidney Rice is from my hometown, Gaffney, South Carolina.
Okay.
I had to go home this weekend after Sidney put that dagger in us. And, boy, did you know what the ridden I've been getting all week?
Oh, sure.
Sidney killed y'all.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Just give him the Bill Belichick. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Huh? But my question
it is what
how
it
come
is.
Every time we up, McCourty do some bonehead, either interception, interference, or you just get burnt for a touchdown. And the next team just come and just beat us up.
Because that's when they go after him. Because he's a target, and the whole secondary is at this point. But I mean, when you need to come back late in a game, and you're down. You're going to be throwing the ball down the field, and you're going to go after the guy you think you can beat. And for a year and a half, Devin McCourty's had a target on his back.
Yeah, but see, that's what I was saying earlier when I was on Brookshore. I don't understand how other coaches can pick other players, you know, and they step up. Lenore Jenkins, for one, he shut down Fitzgerald when the Rams played him a couple weeks ago by himself. We had to put two guys on him.
But,
you know, and when Gardner went down, or when Shields went down for the Packers, Gardner shut down Andre Johnson by himself, rookie.
But
I
got.
I wonder, is this coaching or is it the talent picking, or is Belichick need to go back and the Ossie Newsom contrast and get the best players instead of the one he thinks is best? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, you brought up different.
It's a good question.
Janoris Jenkins, everybody knew he could play. He's a dink, and are you willing to take a dink? You know, it's sort of like I heard Holly talking about it yesterday. You know, the Falcons had Brandon Spikes and Aaron Hernandez off their board. They were not going to draft those guys. For all we know, the Patriots were not going to draft Janoris Jenkins because of his off-field issues. They didn't think he wasn't a good player, and I'm sure the Falcons acknowledged Aaron Hernandez can play. We just don't want him. We don't think the whole package of Aaron Hernandez is worth it for us, the risk and the reward. So if you're willing to take a risk on some of those guys, you're going to make out in the end. And, I mean, to a man, almost everybody said Janoris Jenkins is the best cornerback in the draft, cover-wise.
It was amazing.
But
everybody at the combine was in agreement.
Everybody thought Dez Bryant was the best receiver in that draft, and that's panned out more for the worse. And give Jenkins time, by the way, because this still may go
The book's not written on Janoris Jenkins. I liked him. I wanted to take a chance. You remember, my all-A-hole draft.
I would have taken
him. I wanted all of them.
I would have taken him.
I was infatuated with the talent.
If you have to cut him, well, it's no different than the good guys you took, like Terrence Wheatley and Darius Butler and all these other guys.
Right. And the other part of it is, and I didn't see these games, so I don't know for sure, but I find it hard to believe that Janoris Jenkins by himself took Larry Fitzgerald out of the game. And when Sam Shields went out of the Packers game, that they didn't give. To me, it's a dangerous thing to say. He just took. There are very few Darrell Revises in this league.
Plus, the Patriots took Larry Fitzgerald out of the game.
Yeah, well, he's saying that they needed to use more than one guy on him to do it. I don't necessarily believe that the other teams didn't do it in a similar way that the Patriots did.
Right.
And
the Rams have a pretty good pass rush too. You know, that's the other aspect.
Well, the number
of
one
this.
Thing that night was the right. pass. Didn't they have 9 sacks that
yes,
night?
Eight in the.
Your boy had like 3. Robert Quinn.
It's not just my boy. He's the man.
On Pro Football Talk, this is the Calvin Pace. Calvin Pace complains that Pat's no huddle is borderline illegal. The man who once described the Miami Wildcat offense as a form of cheating now says that the Patriots...
Wait, who's writing this?
Mike Florio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now says, I have no value in it.
Now says that the Patriots no huddle attack is close to it. It's borderline illegal because sometimes the guys aren't always set when they snap the ball. Pace did Wednesday via Rich Cimini of ESPNNewYork.com. But it's smart, he said. Why not a hurry-up team? I wish we could do it. For defense, it just puts pressure on you.
That's exactly right. How I took
and
it.
And I'm pretty sure I read the Rich Cimini,
and
it didn't
have
sound
the tone.
Like, it didn't
have
the
same tone.
The a-hole tone that Florio puts in there. That's just him.
And that
that's just his biased
opinion.
That's
why I didn't see it, because, now, listen, maybe you'll
Florio
on,
is the ultimate muckraker.
Maybe,
ultimate.
Maybe you'll click on Cimini's link, and he has the same kind of tone, but I don't remember the tone from the writer. Because that, to me, kind of changes it a little bit. And I disagree with Florio.
By the way, Florio wasn't there either. Like us, Florio wasn't there.
I think what he's saying is, yeah, it's like they catch you when you're not ready. It should be illegal, but it's smart.
It
we should
right.
do it too.
Right.
You know, I understand. Like, if you take him literally for what he's saying, yeah, he's saying it should be illegal, but it's not, so we should do it too.
Now, in baseball,
and I'm jealous of it. I wish we could.
Is a quick pitch illegal?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
But I thought once the guy's in the box, you can pitch the ball.
There is a time frame that happens that needs to be. It's kind of a nebulous
rule.
No. It's a written rule, but it's a nebulous kind of what is ready, you know. And
well, it's like the
Adrian Gonzalez
thing
was
now.
Complaining. Adrian Gonzalez got thrown out of a game this year for it because he complained about getting quick pitched. But it's one of those things that almost never happens in baseball because. Generally, when the batter's in the box and he's you know, looking, he's assumed to be ready.
Right.
So, but you can't, like, have a guy, like,
step in
the box and then all of a sudden the guy's in his windup and now he's got to get the bat ready and go. You can't right. do that. It's illegal.
Okay. But there is a rule. For
yes.
It. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to David, who's in West Texas. David, how you doing? David.
Yes, sir. What's going on, guys?
Nothing much. What's going on in West Texas?
Oh, man. There's a bunch of heat.
Okay.
I got a quick point, man, I want to put out. You know, we sit back and we listen to Belichick say, you know, we need to score points. It's obvious he's infatuated with scoring a bunch of points and let the opposing team come and catch up to us, right?
Well, hopefully the other path doesn't happen. But
yeah,
yes.
I don't think he's infatuated the other team catching
right.
up to us.
And
no.
I don't think he's infatuated with scoring a lot of points. He always says you want to score more points than your opponent.
But right? No, but you want to score as many points as you can.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I want to win the game.
But that's the...
But his point... But, I mean, scoring as many points as you can is helping you win the game.
Maybe.
Okay.
Except at the end when you're trying to milk the clock. That's it.
No, I don't know that. I mean, I think there are different... I want to win the game. However it takes to win the game, you know... Keeping the other team off the field, holding the ball, doing whatever, is part of winning the game. I don't think you always say trying to score 50 today is our best option. But going no huddle and trying to score as quickly as possible. I'm not sure that's always your best option.
I didn't say anything about
game
quick
plan.
Or anything like that.
The
I'm just saying
has nothing to do with it.
Well, to score a lot of points, you got to do it quickly.
No,
you can't score a lot of points on long, slow drives. It's not possible.
No, but Andy, isn't the goal of every drive
to win?
To score?
Yes.
Right.
That's for the
all,
most part,
I
but
think that's always
for the most part.
Well, I don't think every. I think there are drives when you're trying to run out the clock and you try to maintain possession,
except for end of the game when you're trying
so,
to milk the clock.
I think the end goal is to win, whether it's 3-0 or 52-3.
But
I think the end goal is to win.
I also don't think that Bill's mentality has anything to do with letting the other team score. You know, we'll give up points
anyway
because
no.
we'll have a big lead.
But
I also don't think
it has anything to do with he goes in saying I got to score 46 today.
No,
I think
no,
he
no, no,
goes
no.
in saying I got to score one more than the opponent.
Yes.
All right, David. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I think you know, 3 or 4 possessions is just worse than sitting back and waiting for the clock, you know? I mean, if we could get ahead 3-4 possessions, against a team that can't throw the ball. It's better. That's better than clock management at the end of the fourth quarter.
Well, I think that's where, you know.
Well, obviously, if you can get a 3 or 4 score lead, you're not going to lose many games.
I don't think the Patriots. If you're talking about the Seattle Seahawks game, I don't think the Patriots tried to slow down in that game.
No, they didn't score in the red zone.
They threw the ball 60 times.
Right. Except at the last drive where, you know, they ran Ridley twice, where you could say, well, why didn't they just keep on throwing? I don't think that there was any attempt to milk the clock in that game.
No. There may have been if they had scored touchdowns on all 6 red zone trips. Then they might have been running out the clock even more.
Correct.
But they didn't.
I think it was just ineptitude. It was just lack of execution.
In all 3 phases.
They blew it.
And that's why you're happy.
They blew it. I don't think it had anything to do with the philosophy that kept them from winning that game. It was just they didn't execute and they blew it.
I agree. All right, David.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
I think he was calling from the bottom of a well.
Have you seen King of the Hill?
Maybe the oil well. You know, he's in Texas.
Remember King of the Hill? There was a guy that goes, ding, 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 ding. That's what I just heard. No offense, David. I love you.
Chris.
Yeah, I think it was a phone issue. It wasn't a David issue.
Chris is in Seattle.
I think it was a David issue.
Chris is the guy that organized the big Seattle gathering Saturday night. Hey, Chris, and Sunday.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Hey, Freddie and Eric. It was great seeing you guys down there. Thanks for stopping by. Despite the painful loss, it was for those of us in Seattle, it was certainly softened by the fact of having Robert Kraft and Sam Bam Cunningham at both gatherings. You know, we had 250 Pats fans at the Saturday party that you were at, Fred, and over 400 at the Sunday pregame party that I'm very proud and pleased to say we raised approximately $4,500 for the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber.
That's great.
Nice.
And it was really an epic time. And there's, I don't know if you guys are getting to see any of the photos and everything. There's some great photos with Mr. Kraft and Sam Bam, and really some little poignant moments of them on the microphone. You know, Robert was talking a lot about how Sam, you know, when he was in college and the whole USC Alabama game, where it really kind of changed all of the you know, segregation at the Alabama school by, you know, when they were playing against Sam. And it was just really, really nice time. It's one of those times where none of us will ever forget. So it was a bummer about the end of the game, but we had a hell of a time, and I'm glad you guys got to hang for some of it.
Yeah, it was great, Chris. It was excellent job. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to seeing some or if not all of you guys in London. Barry and Siong will be there with me, too. We're going to go check that. I was going to take a Europe trip anyway, but I won't lie. I timed it accordingly. So,
excellent.
As you should.
As I should.
Two birds with one stone.
Absolutely. I know. Best of both worlds. So looking forward to seeing guys there, too. But, you know, thanks for all. You know, I want to thank Matt and Christy and Stacey and, you know, everybody in the Pats organization that helped spread the word on those gatherings. It really meant a lot, and it was great. And I, you know, It was a wonderful weekend, so, and looking forward to the rest of the season, of course.
All right, Chris. Well, thanks a lot for the call.
Good job, Chris.
And great job over the weekend. That's Chris Porter.
Where's our phone screen?
Seattle. What?
The phones are ringing off the hook, and we got no one to answer them. Is he pooping
somewhere.
Or something?
He must be doing something.
Because literally 3 calls have called and had to hang up because no one was there to answer.
Yeah, I don't know where he went, but he'll be back in a second, so keep calling.
I neither.
He might have gotten back. I don't know, but he'll be back soon.
Ben in Vermont. First, everyone knows that Welker got killed in the game against the Seahawks, but for several games, it looks to me like Welker has been wincing on almost every step. Any sense that he is playing through something big?
Nope.
Second, it looked to me like Brady got his bell rung pretty good on that helmet-to-helmet, and he didn't look right after.
Yep.
His first throw after that hit was really short to Lloyd. It's one thing to lose a guard or safety to a concussion for a couple weeks, but do you think Brady would do everything he could to hide any sign of a concussion? It seems like the league would take a dim view of the team not sitting Brady if he looked in any way wobbly or came off the field for a series.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be an independent guy, right?
Well, see, but here's the thing. I mean, I know that they've talked about technology that every player would have in his helmet, that if the impact went above a certain level, they automatically get tested, and it's not up to the player and it's not up to the team. It would be somebody that had, you know, a view into all these monitors and this guy just got hit, he's got to get tested.
No, but I'm talking about now there is supposedly an independent neurologist on the sideline.
Yeah, but he's not going to do anything unless there's a reason to do something.
He's supposed to, because that's how Colt McCoy got in trouble, because none of the trainers saw the hit. This guy's supposed to see every hit, and if he thinks there's reason to look at a guy, he's supposed to look at him.
Colt McCoy could barely get up.
So you're saying there was no reason for a guy to even take a pass by Tom Brady and see if there was any...
I think if he walks off the field and he says he's fine, then why would you?
Oh, well, then I think the guy's not doing his job.
I actually think that... I think both of you are right. I think...
Yeah,
I think Andy,
the ref.
No, I think what Andy is saying is supposed to happen. I think what you're saying did happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the problem.
And the guy's stealing from the NFL.
I think what the emailer is saying is right. I think they wouldn't look too kindly on this.
Right, and, that's
and let's not pretend this is the only place in the league that it's happening.
And that's why I'm brought up the technology, because even with what you're saying, you can't trust the player. You can't trust the team.
No, but I'm supposed to be able to trust the independent neurologist.
But that means he has to be.
But he has to evaluate.
What if his?
And I don't think he.
What if he was following the ball and he didn't even see the hit?
Then he's not doing his job, because that's why he's there.
But how can you?
Because to me,
you can't look at.
That's why they were brought in for this exact situation.
You can't see all 22 guys. The thing with the Colt McCoy thing.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can see Tom Brady getting
decked. This wasn't much different than the Colt McCoy thing.
Well, no, the reason why the Colt McCoy thing happened was supposedly, and I get this from someone who was there. The trainers were actually working on somebody else. The play was way downfield. McCoy was like by himself on the other side of it. No one saw him.
Right.
Right.
But this guy's job is to see
it. This was supposed to eliminate
that. But if it's one guy, how can he keep his eye on all 22 players?
Well, if we're just going to make excuses, that's his job.
Right.
That's why
it's only one guy that needed to be seen.
But that doesn't exist yet. It's not ready for that yet.
It was the quarterback.
We're not there.
Right. I mean, let's not make it sound like there was a backside guard that pulled and
so was
and the ball
McCoy.
Was
They instituted
this rule because of it.
You just explained how the trainers were working on somebody else. Well, who were the trainers working on this play?
The only excuse this guy would have is if another Patriot was concussed at the time that he was looking
at. I'm talking about all situations, not just this.
And it's not one guy. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that are on the sideline.
I'm talking about the fact that you can miss this stuff.
Sure.
Well, see, what I'm saying on this particular play, Andy and I saw it happen, and I don't think either one of us thought anything of it.
I don't think he was concussed. I thought he
got his... Not until the performance.
Well, then it becomes an excuse.
Now,
exactly.
I will say that I saw it on replay, and he got hit hard.
He did.
Yeah.
But I didn't think... I bet you he's concussed. I didn't.
I never... When I saw it, I didn't think...
I thought he might get whiplash.
Well, then, if he gets whiplash, that's a chance for concussion, because the concussion comes as much from the whiplash as the hit. It's the brain moving in the liquid.
I know.
Yeah, and to me... When
but if these guys can't catch Tom Brady, the star of all stars, getting hit like that, then they're not doing the job. They're just stealing from the NFL and collecting paychecks.
Plus, you don't even have to see it on the field. To me, it's he got hit at X point in the game. His performance went here. He got hit in the head. You don't evaluate him later?
Right. But
like that's what I'm saying. Like to back
to me,
your
they
point,
should,
Andy.
They should see him immediately.
Yeah, that's an evaluation that needs to take place. If
they miss Tavon Wilson way downfield on some random thing, okay, but Tom Brady got decked, which drew a flag, and they showed replays of it because it drew a flag. If the independent neurologist doesn't see that, then he should be fired and get a new guy who can.
Well, he was there, right?
I assume.
Did Brady get tested?
I assume not.
I don't know. I mean,
you don't have
to
get tested.
So we have no idea.
He could
what the
walk by and just say, you know, I don't see any signs of anything, right?
I guess.
I mean, I don't know how these guys work exactly and the steps they take, but I didn't think Brady was concussed, and he may have walked by and said, I don't think he's concussed.
And
there's no need.
That's
his professional
that's
judgment.
I think, and I know it doesn't exist now, but that's why I think until you have that technology where there's a bar and that's it, whether or not he looks bad or not, he gets tested. Until then, you can't trust that every guy's going to be caught, you know, every concussion's going
to
be caught.
No, I'm not saying everyone, but to me, the greatest star quarterback in the NFL on a play that drew a flag and was replayed a number of times, the neurologist had the chance to see whether he thought that should proceed with any sort of attention.
TG and NJ writes in, do you guys watch Inside the NFL, or did you watch it last night?
I watched some of it last night.
They had a great bit with Mike Pereira and LeVar Arrington asking just what is pass interference. It was a good discussion, but still inconclusive. I think PI is one of the biggest issues with the sport right now. Nobody really knows what it is. It's a judgment call called inconsistently. And the worst part, and this is where I agree with Pereira, is that it is, to use his words, too punitive. He thinks, and I agree, we should use the college rule, make it 15 yards. Too many games are decided by these unclear judgment calls or no calls. Somehow it has to be made more apparent. It's gotten to the point where As soon as there is a deep ball pass, you're immediately looking for a flag after the play. Not good for the game, not good for the sport.
Agreed.
Andy Hart, part of the email.
I agree to a point, not all the way.
The one thing I found interesting, and we haven't gotten our rule book in like 10 years. I don't know why we stopped getting those. But he emphasized it's supposed to significantly inhibit the receiver's ability to catch the football. And I think a lot of them that are called, you could not possibly, you could argue that he touched him. You couldn't argue that he significantly inhibited his ability to catch the football.
I hate the
arm. To me, that's what they need to focus on. Significantly.
I hate the hand play. The arm and hand play.
Why have that word? Just say,
right.
Did it inhibit the guys? Why have the word significant?
No, but I want the word significant because I think it should be significant. It shouldn't just be ticky-tacky.
Well, but
to me, we see, to me, all these people say there's too many ticky-tacky.
I know.
Well, you know what? The rule doesn't say you should even have any ticky-tacky.
But what is significant? That's in the eye of the beholder.
I know it when I see it.
Well, that's the thing.
Well, I don't like I agree with the emailer and you guys. I'd like to see it be a 15-yard penalty.
Sure.
Because I think that eliminates I don't think games are decided on these plays for the most part. I mean, you could make an argument the Giants and Eagles game a couple of weeks ago on the Sunday night, there was some back and forth interferences in that game that you could make an argument on. But when a guy most of the big pass interference penalties you see, most of them, not all of them, there's exceptions. The guy runs right by the defender, and the defender's usually scrambling to get back.
Right.
That's when you get called for those pass interference penalties. I don't think they decide games. I mean,
no, but the butterfly effect. You never know the importance one drive that you get a 60-yard penalty.
In other words, what I'm saying is
those
50-yard penalties, to me, generally, a guy got burnt, and he ran back and hit a guy, and it's a penalty. I don't think a lot of the ticky-tack ones, to me, are on the sideline.
Yeah, but the ones in the end zone, it automatically goes to the one-yard line.
Well, it would have been a touchdown if he didn't do it.
Maybe, yeah. But if
that's what I'm saying. I don't think there's a lot of big penalties that are bad calls. But I do agree with Andy that I'd like to see more of a definite, like a more strident definition. Like, I don't think you need the hand play. Like, the hand stuff. When the guys are running and, you know, I think receivers have become too good at drawing pass interference penalties. Like, they see the ball in the air on good
it's
coverage.
Worth it.
Those are the ones that bother me.
They wouldn't get so good at it if it was a one in a million chance. They do it so often because it pays off.
The ones that the coverage is there. And
he drives into him looking to get to the ball.
Yeah,
the guy's,
you know.
Guy's helpless. It's like when, you know, in basketball, when the guy draws that, you know, penalty outside the three. The three-point line, you know.
But, like, you'll see, like, two guys running stride for stride, and they're looking, and they're both looking back for the ball, and they're both making plays on the ball, and there's some contact there, and then you see the penalty. Those are the ones I hate. But the hits before the ball gets there, I don't think get called enough downfield, you know,
like
on deep balls.
I thought you meant on slants.
No, on deep ball. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I know that I guess I'm wrong. They do cost us games because I read Patriots.com.
Wow.
The one thing I actually laughed at from a Patriots perspective is he was saying how a long time ago, you know, sort of when he was starting, referees only really watched the defensive players for pass interference, and then it sort of transitioned, no, you're watching the whole play to get offensive and defensive pass interference. And he said, well, the thing I would tell people, you're the defender, just turn your head and make a play on the ball. And I'm thinking, Patriots fans have been asking their DBs to do that for months now.
Yeah, and that's the other part of it. I think there's too many, there's too much offensive pass interference that goes uncalled in general. I think it's unfair for the defensive players, and that's where I would agree with the.
It's the way the foundation of this league is being unfair to defensive players.
Yeah, I think in general you're right, and I do think there's way too much pushing off that doesn't get called. In the league. Like, I thought Braylon Edwards might have gotten away with a push-off. I mean, to me, that was I have no idea how Dennard got called for pass interference on that play. Now, he caught it, so it didn't matter. I didn't see any pass interference on Dennard on that play. I thought that might have been a push-off by Edwards, but to me, I think Andy and I looked at it like, I'd rather see no flag there.
I'd like that to be a play.
But he caught it, so it wasn't really
that
bad.
The other thing, Michael Robinson on that play goes, did you see that? It was like an end-over-end duck. That was, I can't believe he caught that. And the ball was, like, all over
really?
The place. And he's just mocking the throw from Russell Wilson.
You know, I think offensive interference happens two or three times a game, and you never see it get called.
Halle Berry's in an R-rated movie. That means you might see her boobies.
It's not better than Monster's Ball. There's never a better scene of her getting railed than that movie. Tremendous.
TG&NJ also says, Andy,
just turned into Mr. Skin.
if you fast forward to an hour and 12 minutes in.
Well, it's literally one of the best.
It is a very good.
Because she's so hot. And remember there was the whole hubbub. She did that one movie where she actually got paid $1 million to show her breasts. It was like Swordfish. Well, Monster's Ball, I mean.
Fred needs a napkin.
She's getting absolute. It's borderline porn. And, you know, it's phenomenal.
Andy Hart, part of the email, if Bill Polian can get the rules changed so his wide receivers could get open, maybe Belichick can get the rules changed so his pathetic secondary has a 50-50 chance.
But what rule? Like, I'd like to play along with that, but what rule?
I don't know.
You're not allowed to throw to defensive backs who don't know what they're doing.
Can't cover the deep ball.
Right. Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester, how you doing?
Hey, guys, doing all right. Sorry to be MIA yesterday, but my boss is getting some revenge from last week. Head's finally clear. You know, I've been having some vivid dreams lately, and they all keep ending with Bill Belichick looking at me saying, do your job.
Yeah, and then you wake up and it's your boss.
Man, has that been mentioned in the locker room lately?
Everybody just do your job!
Seriously. You know, this Jets statement in the media this week and their collective stance is a huge media snow job. They're just trying to lull us to sleep, obviously, and I'm just hoping we come out fast, furious with some intensity this week. I'm worried about Stephen Hill deep. I know we touched on that a little bit. God knows Eldridge will be reaching out to us next week, win, lose, or draw on that one. I think we need Dowling to step up. We need to get some size on him. I know Dennard's, you know, maturing somewhat, but I'm hoping to see Dowling reach out and touch somebody, so to speak. You know, we got to make a statement. 40 points of plus, you know, obviously we're hoping for that, but my opinion is we start early with Ridley, we get some Vereen, we open up some play action, and hopefully now the 81's back, we get Gronk back all day again, like kind of like what we saw last week, minus points. I have a feeling this offense is going to see more wrinkles than Tom Coughlin and North Turner's love child.
Oh, wow.
I think we see something new here. You know, we got to keep rearing on these turnovers and make the best of our opportunities. Lastly, you know, light bulb went off. I think we need to take on a sponsorship from GM, get some rear-view helmet cams, and get the secondary back on track.
There we go.
Guys, let's get them. Let's get some intensity out there, fans. Have a good day.
All right, Chester, bringing it again.
Well done, Chester.
Very good. I like the rear-view cams and the helmet. That
I do think the game plan has to start offensively with run the football down their throat, like can be done to the Jets, and then open up the play-action game, Gronk. I mean, Laron Landry, I don't think he can cover Gronk. I've always kind of liked Jeremiah Bell a little bit. You know, he's not a great player. I think he's a solid player. Like, I think he'd be okay on this team. But they should have some room to work in that secondary. Even the matchup, you know, who are they going to cover Welker with?
I mean, as far as whether they should run first or pass, I really don't care. Just move the ball.
Run.
Just move the ball. I don't care how they do it.
If you can run, do it.
Yeah,
that's how I think you should approach every game. If you can run, do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
start from there and move on.
If they try to do, you know, if they bring out their sub packages, absolutely, you know.
No, I don't care.
I could have a
good
argument.
They can't stop the run. Just run.
Oh, this week I think that you're going to see a lot of that. I don't know. I think Andy and I could have a good argument on this. I think we could really get into it.
As The Rock would say, just
I like
bring
scoring
it.
Points.
I thought that was The Matrix when he goes like that with his hand.
I don't know. I'm not a geek. I never saw that movie.
You never saw The Matrix?
No.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I don't like stupid geeky movies.
I never saw it either.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, is that a religion too? Oh, The Matrix.
Oh, absolutely. You didn't know that?
What a loser.
Fred still has comic books.
It's stupid geeky movie.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't like action films.
I like action films.
Okay, then you would like The Matrix.
That's not an action film. That's a stupid geeky movie. Okay. There's action in it, but it's not an action film.
Okay. It's a stupid geeky movie.
It is.
I'm with you. I didn't see it.
Right. It's not guys blowing farts and, you know.
That doesn't happen in action movies. I do enjoy those movies as well, but that's a separate genre.
Chris with a
genre. Don't tell me Billy Madison's not a good movie. I just watched that the other night.
Whoa,
that is a classic movie.
WNBA fight. Wow.
Chris the with coach a TIA. Was all wound hey, up. Christian, how you doing?
You know, I'm just doing phenomenal. I mean, you all know why this show's great. This show's great because yesterday you guys rag on old reporters.
No, actually, young. Actually, it was the young reporters I was ragging on.
Well, yeah, we don't name names. Steal the ace.
No, that was Andy.
Of course, names all the time. And today, you know, we find that Halle Berry's sex scene in Monster's Ball is the greatest scene in the history of movies.
Well, have you seen it? Like,
of course I have.
Okay.
I've played it multiple times.
Me too. About three times a week.
Oh, man.
Loved it.
Christian, did you feel the earthquake the other night?
No, I did not.
Oh, jeez.
No, I did it, but I got to tell you something strange. My cat did. My cat was freaking out.
Oh, wow. All right.
And I
because it's a pussy.
Hold on, Mrs. Hot. I'll be right there.
Oh, hey. Oh. Speaking of pussy.
But no, I guess animals felt it, but I didn't. Did you, Paul, the TV?
Yeah, Paul felt it.
Yes, I did.
Paul caused it. He was jumping up and down because Northeastern scored a goal.
Oh,
oh come on. See now? But actually, I felt the one a couple of years ago we had. I think it was in Virginia. It was one that we had at Colt, but not this one. I hope we absolutely destroy the Jets this week. I'm predicting a 30-point win. I think they're going to come off firing on all cylinders. And I hope the Seahawks tonight lose by 40.
Wait, but
my part as a Patriots fan, I you know, hope they lose.
So you want them to lose. You don't want it to be a good loss. Because if they lose and show that they suck, then it becomes a bad loss. If they win and, you know, win the West and are a pretty good team, it's a good loss.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, no, I don't take solace in that stuff.
Yeah. As long as the Patriots keep winning from here on out, I don't care.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think they're going to go on, you know, schedule certainly favors them. The biggest issue with me, though, with this team, I want to get your guys' opinion on it. The overall health.
Issue.
And I got to get back to work, but I'll leave you guys with that. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, health is an issue. There's no doubt.
Some concerns there.
There should be. Everybody's banged up on offense. Everybody. Every single person on offense is banged up.
Yep.
Prove me wrong.
It's hot.
Why don't you go down the rundown?
The only
healthy guy is Deion Branch. That's because they don't do it.
Maybe Ridley. And let's face it, he's a running back, so we know he's dealing with stuff. But, yeah, I mean, Lloyd, Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez all have something pretty much documented.
You all believe Brady was concussed.
The offensive line is dealing with, you know,
right.
All
Mankins,
kinds of
Vollmer.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I guess Soldier could be.
Morgan writes in, first I want to say I love the show.
Like
you guys
show.
Make me laugh the whole time. And for a bunch of homers, you guys actually do a good job of pointing out things in football in general. Fred, you rock. I love listening to your drunken, incoherent rants. My rants aren't incoherent.
And as far as I know, you're not drunk.
No, that was the joke that I am.
Unfortunately, he's not drunk.
Second,
right? Can you imagine if he were?
Second, science. Second, I want to say as far as Tom's performance this year, it seems like he is a bit distracted out on the field. Now I know he and Giselle are expecting a new family addition, but I can't imagine that's the distraction. Yep. It's his third child, so it makes me wonder what can be causing him to not be as focused as he normally is.
Pass rushers.
With recent events, I think I have found the reason. Do you think Tom is worried about being on the Zumba list? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously though, I want to address.
Serious?
They're like PFW in progress. They just name names. They put the whole. I guess there was like lawyers. Fireman, girl, some high school, something coach.
And they put like addresses and everything in there because
to differentiate.
Yeah, there were people that were complaining. I that's my name, but I was not on that. Right. It wasn't me.
Fred, were you on it?
No.
Would you ever do that?
Prostitution?
Especially that, where it kind of like fell, like you went to an aerobics class and all of a sudden you're like
fell into it. Like you didn't go there looking for that.
Yeah, you didn't go to some seedy street corner to pick up a whore. You went to Zumba and there was a hot young chick and. Hey, you guys do what after class, and how much is that?
I never have, and I don't think I ever will.
Okay.
Paying for it.
I don't pay for it.
Well, it's just, you know.
I wouldn't either.
What do you get for it?
I guess, though, like.
Andy's intrigued. What do you get for
it? I'm not going to lie. What's worth $1,500? One of them was $1,500.
No, I guess, like, if I was a soldier overseas for a long time.
I'm a soldier.
You know.
Keller Winslow's not here anymore.
And you're looking for, you know, a little bit of fun, I might.
Sucky, sucky, Fidala.
Not
that would be a little
soldier. Seriously though, I want to address this theory that the game has passed Bill by, or that he is no longer the defensive genius from the days of old. I might be wrong, and it might be an oversimplification, but it appears that in the past Bill was all about building a team around a solid defense. But with the emergence of the lightning in a bottle player like Tom, he has switched his focus to building and maintaining a solid offense, and therefore the defense has fallen behind in the draft as well as coaching. And finally, as far as Wes, pay the man. The hit he took last Sunday earned him that alone, never mind all the drives he's kept alive during the season.
Agreed. The Belichick thing, I mean, a lot of people think it was the rule change that he reacted to. This is going to be a passing league, and I'm going to go get my, you know, you had the rule change or the rule emphasis, and then he had no receivers. And he reacted by, this is a passing league, you need receivers, I'm going to get receivers, and we're going to throw the ball. But I also think that gets back to, he's drafted a lot of guys. They just haven't all panned out.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, think of how many defensive players, beyond just the corners, but the corners, the safeties, a guy like Merriweather, who right now could be in the elite prime of his career, like Vince Wilfork is, or, you know, Gerard Mayo is. He wasn't, and he's gone.
First round pick out of Miami.
Ron Brace is a second round pick who is as irrelevant, except for community relations, which he does a fine job, and I actually admire
nice,
that.
Nice man.
Is irrelevant. I mean, he's made picks that just didn't work out.
The idea with him is it wasn't B.J. Raji. It was actually him.
Right, but it wasn't, apparently.
Right.
Do you think that even was a plan from Belichick?
For
like,
what?
You know, like we were talking
I do think
like
he reacted
was
to, the
reacted to the rule change.
Yeah.
So you think that it
wasn't
because...
I think he realized old-school physical defense was not necessarily going to be the way to win.
But what I'm asking is, do you think that it was, you know, 2 years after the rule change... He had no wide receivers on his team, and he ended up, his defense fell apart in 06 in the AFC Championship game, and he went out and got receivers because of the rule change or because of we have no receivers and I need to give Tom some help.
Right.
He can't do it all
on
his own.
But I think he thought that.
So, in other words,
physical...
you think it was a calculated plan that I need to increase my weapons?
Yes.
Because of that?
Well, a lot of things. I have Brady. We know one of the strengths of my team, one of the things I can count on is Brady. I don't have receivers in a league that I think is trending towards passing and aerial offense and all that.
I guess what I'm asking is this. Let's play Fred Kirsch Fantasyland hypothetical. That happened after the 2006 season. He went out and we got Moss, Welker, Kyle Brady, all those guys. Stallworth, Kelly Washington. Let's say that they didn't lose Branch and Givens. And they had two more years on their contracts. And they were going to be here in 07. Do you think he would have said, I need to get more explosive in the offense? Or was it because I lost those two guys and replaced them with Richie Caldwell, who stunk, and, you know, a bunch of other guys that were just okay, like Gaffney and Doug Gabriel and all those other guys. I just need to get better than that. Like, in other words, if he had Branch and Givens, wouldn't have been Moss and Welker by any stretch. But would he have deemed it okay?
No. Well, probably. I think he probably would have added to it. I don't know that he would have just said
like
that's
maybe
good
they wouldn't
enough.
Have gotten Moss if they had Branch and Branch and Givens.
I think they would have still gotten Moss.
You know,
Moss.
When you talk about coaches
not
like
Welker,
like Belichick, you know, and he's got this defensive background. Everybody thinks he's a defensive coach. Well, you know what? They said the same thing about Bill Parcells. He's a three yards in a cloud of dust type of coach. He wants to run the ball. But when he got Bledsoe, they threw the ball, and these coaches aren't stupid.
Right?
They know that when they've got a guy like that, cater to his. You know, talents.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I understand that you don't necessarily run the ball the way you did with Corey Dillon when you have Brady in his prime, and by the way, no longer have Corey Dillon. That I get. I'm just wondering, you know, I think when Andy brought that up, I was like, well, was it really like a concerted effort to say, this is going to be turning into a more of a passing league? I need to get at a different level offensively. I can no longer score 24 a game. I need to get it up over 30 a game. Or did he just say, well, Welker's available. I've always liked this guy. I think he could be a very good fit in my offense.
All of it.
Moss kind of fell into his lap. I mean, let's face it. No one wanted him.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you take off and you have a historic offense in 2007.
Right. They don't draft high, you know, wide receivers in the first round. They haven't.
Right.
You know, so other than Chad Jackson in the second round. That, you know,
no, they have a few second round receivers, but none in the first.
They considered him in the first because he was our special pick.
Branch. Bethel Johnson, Chad Jackson.
To me, a second-round pick's a pretty high pick.
Yeah, but no first-round picks is all I'm saying. They had a bunch of second-round picks.
But I would also throw into that era Brandon Merriweather, who was supposed to be Ed Reed.
Oh, well.
So if you're Miami bio said Ed Reed.
You go back and look at draft stuff coming out in 07, that's what they talked about.
So
who's they?
The draft people.
Really? Like them. Kuiper and all that?
Yeah, I don't know about him, but a lot of them. That the name Ed Reed was not far off from that. And obviously some of it is simply a safety out of Miami.
Right.
But I think Bill was drafting him to be a playmaking safety in a league that was trending towards passing offense and pass defense.
Sure.
And that didn't work out.
Nope.
But to me, that's a pick that would fall in line with him thinking things are changing. Trends are changing here. And let's not, it wasn't just Welker.
You're probably right.
It wasn't just Welker and Moss, though. If it had just been those two, it might be, okay, he needed to replace two receivers to be.
Look what else he did.
Washington.
Yeah.
Stallworth.
And I throw Kyle
Brady
in there.
Well, especially since I'd never heard the story that Bill
was
threw a hissy
him.
Fit when Kyle Brady got drafted and he couldn't take him.
Yeah. That was part of the Cleveland 95 documentary a few weeks ago.
Wow. Somebody saved him from making another bad pick. Because when you pack,
I think he took Tommy Vardell instead.
Oh, was that the same draft?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I was gonna say, when you take these big white stiffs in the top 10 draft, you look like an idiot.
But
who drafts a full?
But not
I
only
love
that,
fullbacks as much as anyone. Who drafts a fullback in the top 10?
But not only that,
it was touchdown Tommy Vardell though.
Andy, to further illustrate your point, when you're talking about those
guys, he
would
have drafted your guy.
Oh,
oh yeah. Absolutely.
The kid out of Stanford.
Yeah. Toby Gerhardt.
Toby Gerhardt. Yeah.
That's where Vardell went, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But to further your point, you're talking about it's throwing the ball and defending the pass. You know, the next year, that year he drafted in the first round, he drafted Merriweather. But, you know, don't forget the Adalys Thomas signing,
was
a guy
move.
Geared toward, I need someone to rush the passer and do these
and
different
cover
things.
Cover tight end. He's a safety. I mean, he drove a guy into a Gatorade table once lined up at safety. I don't even know where that voice came from.
I know. What is that?
Suddenly, Herman Edwards is part of our show. I don't understand why.
Oh, did you see that last night, too? I'm all over the place now. You didn't happen to watch
the football.
You don't
need the Mr. C starter set now.
No.
On Steve McNair last night. It was pretty good.
To win the game.
I told Paul, the most interesting thing I found is when his injury, remember he was always hurt?
Yeah.
His injury started piling up. Jeff Fisher said he started to self-medicate with alcohol and other drugs. Mm. And Fisher said there were days he'd come to the stadium and Fisher knew he'd had a tough night and Steve would be like, I just need to sleep it off. I'll be like, I never knew that was happening with Steve McNair. But the other thing was Herm Edwards and Jeff Fisher are on the field and Fisher goes, I got my quarterback. And Herm's like, no, I know that man's tough. And Jeff's like, I'm surprised he's playing this week. And Herm was like, I told my team all week he's going to play because he's the toughest. And Fisher's like, but he's got a hole in his calf. You don't understand. His calf is so injured, there's a hole in his. And I'm thinking, Bill
Why
would never have this
him?
Conversation
Why?
About the specific injury with the opposing coach on the field.
And this is before the game?
Yes. Pre-game warm-ups.
That's unbelievable.
The different worlds that exist outside of this building in terms of locker rooms, media, coaches, just absolutely flipping amazing.
It just doesn't matter.
I told him yesterday, Christian Ponder, in his weekly press conference, talking about a play they drew up where, well, you know, we put this guy in the backfield, and the idea was to suck the safety up. And I don't know if he knew our play or not, but he didn't suck up. And so that ruined the whole play when he didn't suck. He's like breaking down a play, and however, have I ever heard Tom Brady do anything like that? I mean, well, there's a lot of options on the play, and I can
like
run
sticks.
It different ways. Yeah, like... Amazing what goes on elsewhere.
Let's
Pete
go to
Hubbick's
the
right. Where's team to cover in the league?
0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Doug is in Southern Oregon. Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hoo-yah.
I wanted to ask you guys, going around the table, do you still believe that it is defense that wins championships?
I've never thought that, so no.
Paul's never thought that because it was the common thought.
I think that it takes a balanced team to win a championship. There are always exceptions.
I think,
I think the best balanced team generally is
the
one that
wins. I think in that championship game, you have to play pretty good defense because it's just one game. You got to play good defense in that championship game, but you don't have to be the best defensive team in the league to win a championship.
You don't have to be the best offense. I think the best team wins.
Right.
Some semblance of both.
That's how
And that includes the kicking game. There's plenty of teams that have gotten there. I would say the 0-1 Patriots got there because they were better than everybody in the kicking game.
But
if you remove the kicking game from that team, they do not advance in the playoffs and they don't win a Super
and
Bowl.
And I've always said, and I will continue to say, in that one game, the line of scrimmage is so key. Winning the line of scrimmage in that game, you always go back and you say, which team won? How did they do, you know, offensive line, defensive line? And 9 out of 10 times, they won those battles.
Have you researched this?
No, you just can tell. You know, you just know. You go back in these games when, you know, the Cowboys and the Redskins and even with the Giants against the Patriots, they won the battle at the line of scrimmage.
Sure. Certainly with the Giants and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, what do you guys think is the number one priority that Belichick needs to address in this team right now?
Pass defense, cornerback, safety, coverage.
The yep. Secondary?
Yeah.
Secondary would be one, pass rush would be two.
Yeah, that's what I think. And what can we do to address the secondary issues at this point? Do we just have to go with the young guys we got and hopefully somebody will step up?
Unleash the hounds.
Get somebody, and then what is the trade deadline for all that kind of stuff?
Well, Paul and I actually talked about this. If you have these guys you're not willing to play, which it seems like they're either injured or whatever, you have these DBs that aren't seemingly in the rotation, maybe you need to get other guys for the rotation. And I'm not saying you're going to get a great player, but maybe you get a guy, we said Sterling Moore, who made some plays for you. Maybe you can find a guy that just can make some plays.
Tell you something that I didn't even realize. Monday night, Broncos had a guy named Tony Carter that made some plays. You know where he's from?
Right here.
Patriots practice squad in 2010, was on the active roster for a game or two down the stretch. You know, kind of an unknown guy. He could have been one of those rotation guys, you know, that Andy's talking about. Not a guy. You're not going to go out and trade in 2 weeks for, you know,
well, the
problem some star.
Patriots don't have a lot of draft picks next year, right? They have kind of the minimum.
Yeah, well,
there's not a lot of excess.
They don't have it.
They're
have
in
a
the
lot.
Second year of the the Chad Johnson, Albert Hainsworth picks, and some of those. Yeah, so that's
there's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do during the middle of a season. You need to have the guys that you have play a little better, and maybe you make some changes. Maybe you decide
could have traded for Asante Samuel.
You know, and I think one of those that I think is happening is Alphonso Dennard, I believe, is going to continue to have a bigger role moving forward. You saw that last week with him replacing Arrington. You have to hope that works.
Yeah, but he'll suck next year.
Could be.
So it could be. Are we hoping that the young guys can step up and get better, and is that basically all we've got at this juncture as far as options?
I mean, I also think you can hope the pass rush becomes even more of an impact up front, because that obviously can help. You hope Gregory gets back on the field and that his veteran presence is a positive, and Wilson can kind of be a rotational guy. And, you know, there's a lot of things to hope for, but the problem is you really are, like, hoping. It's not even expecting. Yeah. You're literally hoping.
And I do think it's reasonable that Belichick's defense will get better, because generally that happens.
Right, plus they play crappy teams.
Yeah.
All right, Doug. Thanks for the call, Doug.
All right, guys. Appreciate
see you, Doug. Okay. Enjoy
Thank
that
you,
Southern
Doug.
Oregon.
You know, just like last year, we were kind of shocked with the downfall of McCourty. You know, we kind of had him pegged. Mayo, Wilfork, and McCourty were your three guys that you're going to depend on defense, and you just couldn't depend on him. This year, I think the big hope was, okay, Rozai Dowling, if he's healthy, that's an addition that they didn't have last year that's really going to boost them. You know, he was that special pick, the number one in the second round. You know,
when, and started you know, right away.
And now that's been a bust. You know, at least up until this point.
But that's been less of a bust than a...
Certainly a lot less of a bust than McCourty.
Didn't get
year.
Out of the
oh,
gates.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
no, but I mean, how
I didn't really have much
how crappy has he looked? He hasn't played. It's more of a DNP instead of a KP.
But there's something that he's not doing that they're saying we can't put him out there.
That he's worse than the crap that's going out there?
Apparently.
But that's my point. At least McCourty sucked. We saw him out there every week, and he was failing, and that's disappointing, but... It's even worse to think, well, we thought Dowling was going to be something, but sometimes between August and now, you decided he's not going to be anything.
I think the naysayers thought that if Dowling didn't pan out, it would be because he probably got banged up and wasn't able to play. But Andy's
or at
right.
least
he
was a big stiff.
There.
He was a big stiff who couldn't turn his hips. I haven't seen enough of that to say I was right when I said that.
But that is kind of our impression based on training.
Yes, but
camp,
I'd like to be proven right, not just assume I'm right. Play him.
But isn't he someone that we said if there's improvement in the defensive backfield, he'll be part of it.
Could be, yes. He was an option for improvement.
Right.
And I would say Gregory, the same thing.
Right.
The safety thing has been an issue, because I think everybody thought, last year, rightly so, they didn't have NFL players. You know, when Chung was out those 8 games, you know, we're dealing with Sergio Brown and Josh Barrett and, you know, all the way down to Slater and Edelman. You don't have NFL players playing safety. So you thought, Chung and Gregory would make it better. Well, it hasn't been that much better.
Joe in Michigan. Hey, guys, I read that Dwayne Bowe badly wants out of Kansas City. With him being in Crennel's system, do you think the Patriots would consider trading for him? He already knows the system, isn't very old. It would definitely be helpful. Give him real quarterback to throw him the ball, and he might show up. Dwayne, I mean, are we really looking for that kind of help at this point?
I guess.
Dwayne Bowe?
I'm also not in love with Dwayne Bowe. I think he drops a lot of balls.
And I also wouldn't say that Romeo Crennel's offense is the same as this one. I have no idea what they – I mean, is you know, what they were running for years with Todd Haley, is that – I don't know if that was the same. And Crennel's a defensive coach. I wouldn't imagine he has his own offensive system. It's not New England system, in other words.
And he also wants to be paid.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I mean,
Dwayne,
if you want him, you're getting $50 million.
I don't even care about the system. Dwayne Bowe's a great athlete. You know,
he's a great athlete, but is he a great player? I'm not sure he is. Don't fall in love with the physique, Fred. Look at the football player.
I've seen him produce.
I have a
up and down.
I have a logistical question for you, Andy.
I like consistency. You might like flashy big plays and big biceps. I like consistency.
All right.
Logistical standpoint, can they actually trade for him? He's a franchise player, correct?
Oh no. Oh yeah.
So you can't have two franchise guys. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think you can trade for him.
So you could have two guys on, under the franchise tag at the same time?
I don't know. Why don't you ask somebody who knows?
Chances are no one probably knows. We just make this stuff up as we go.
You didn't franchise him, so I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think you can.
I'm asking.
I think you'd have to do a deal with him right away, right?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Because technically
you can't
do
a deal with him, right?
It's past the deadline to do a deal.
Past the deadline to do a deal. A
lot of rules crossing there.
Yeah.
Don't cross the streams.
Right. Or the rules. Jess writes in, any chance
the Jets... Hey, girl. Is Bill Belichick the best coach in the league?
In the game, it says, Paul.
Any chance the Jets have a Tebow wrinkle this weekend that they've been holding back for the Patriots? Other than on special teams, their use of Tebow has been very vanilla, and Rex is obsessed enough with the Patriots that he might have been willing to struggle through the first six games in order to surprise the Patriots with something. Any chance?
No. Well, yeah, but
I think
no.
You're going to see Tebow. I don't think it was held back.
Right. That.
Also, in regards to paying for sex, you're really not you're not really paying for the sex. You're paying for her to leave afterwards.
Oh. No, Eric's paying for the sex. He has no problem getting women to leave.
So I take it that this person speaks from experience. Okay.
I guess so.
We get it. Paying her for
so you think if they had me on NFL Network and read that question, is Bill Belichick the best coach in the game? And I go, no, Nick Saban. And they go, because they probably mean NFL coaches. But you said in the game of football is more than just the NFL. Jim Fossil doing a fine job in Vegas in the UFL.
Let's just think
he's in the equation, however.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, that there is something that the Jets haven't done with Tebow yet that they're holding back. What could that be? Other than just having him start at quarterback.
Catch a pass.
In a reserve role.
Catch a pass, because he's lined up a receiver, but I don't believe he has a reception.
I'm not sure they've thrown the ball to him.
He doesn't have a reception.
But I think that what you would say is more of it. Whatever they do, they've probably done.
More
but
of it.
I think he only averages like 7 or 8 snaps a game. So you're basically saying, I'm going to play him in, like, the second quarter.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either. But, he's throwing the ball.
Throw deep.
He threw a beautiful pass in that Monday night game against Houston.
Guy
that the guy hit him right in the face.
Right.
So, I mean, I think you're going to see Tebow, and people are going to say that Rex held it back. But I think he's done these things all year.
Right.
Just not a lot in the same game. Maybe he decides to do it more often in this game. But I think that would be a mistake.
You do.
Look what they did to this guy last year.
I know.
Look what the Patriots defense did to him last year in the playoff game.
Imagine if he did use him a lot in the Jets.
What would you do? What would you do if Tim Tebow? I want to know. What would you do
if Tim Tebow
beat the Patriots? He came in here this week as a member of the Jets, the cockroach New York Jets.
I'd be pissed.
You'd be satisfied that I'm going to stick it in Andy and Paul's face.
What would the Jets fans do?
What are you,
if
Wes
Tebow
Welker?
Came in and won the game for the Jets. What would the Jets fans do? Would it be the end of Sanchez?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yep.
It all depends. I mean, he would have to do it. He would have to play a game close to like the game he played against Pittsburgh in the playoffs, which is, to my recollection, the only one he had anything to do with them winning. I mean, he threw nice passes in that game. He played well. That Pittsburgh playoff game, you give Tebow the nod. That's what a quarterback does.
Right.
The other games, I'm going to go 3 and out 9 times in a row and hope that we can kick a 68-yard field goal as time expires.
Run around like a maniac on the last drive.
Right. And hope we can kick a 68-yard field goal to win the game. I mean, that's not really good quarterback.
It's been bothering me a lot lately, too. I listen to Felger and Maz, and they seem to, for some reason, get a lot of Tebow calls related, and he's just a winner. Really, is he? What's his freaking record in the NFL? 7-4 or something like that? Ooh, you're quite a winner. I mean, how many other quarterbacks have started 7-4 before Matt Cassel and all these guys who are Jags? He's not just a winner. He's a nobody. He's an absolute nobody who likes to wear Under Armour shirts to show off his pecs.
As I've said in the past and will continue to say, John Skelton has a better record as a starting quarterback
Paul,
in this league.
Can you imagine if Andy was on an NFL team, what he would wear for warm-ups?
I would not.
He would come out bare-chested.
What he would have? I guarantee he would have one of those big T-shirts that you cut the sleeves off.
Yeah.
So it's like a tank top. You cut it into a tank top,
right.
But it's all open on the sides.
Right.
And he'd walk out with those little watermelons under his arm.
You don't even know me. It would be a long-sleeve T-shit and sweatpants. It would be very simple.
No, no.
It would be very basic.
No,
you guys think you know me, but you're absolutely clueless.
Oh, my God.
Is this what you guys usually do to me?
would be showing off everything. Oh, yeah.
Sun's out, guns out, Freddie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you see what I was talking about the other day with him? When Sanchez comes out in a regular baggy shirt to warm up, and Tebow's right next to him in this skin-tight white Under Armour, like, what are you doing? When was the last time you saw a quarterback wear that?
I still think by the end of the season, we're going to see Sanchez and Tebow go out.
Well,
I think they're going to become lovers.
Well, he's banging, what's her name? Ava Longoria.
I thought he was talking about going out for a pass. And he goes, they're going to become lovers.
I think so.
You don't really think either of them are gay, do you?
I think there could be.
Oh, I think there's a little vibe there with Tebow.
I'm oh, I do,
sure.
too.
And Sanchez.
I actually think Tebow's gay, but I assumed I was the only one on that. You really think a lot of very famous NFL players are gay?
Yeah, well,
one in every locker room.
Fred Kirsch is like
you
a
think it's all the superstars: Chad Johnson, yeah. Terrell Owens,
the receivers,
Tim Tebow.
Absolutely.
Fred's got a little McCarthyism in him. You're gay until I prove otherwise.
Okay, right. Which one of the Patriots is it then?
I don't know.
Wow, he really clammed up when you asked him to call out the home locker.
Maybe
room.
That was the wise answer.
What's the matter over there? Are we ready for picks already?
No, you don't need to read that yet.
Oh,
but
okay.
Can you not confuse the monkey?
I'm trying to get him ready.
Yeah, but if you... Yeah.
Travis and Tennessee...
I'll tell you this.
He can be derailed by anything.
I want to stick with the Tebow just for a second on the field as opposed to the gay affair he's having with Mark Sanchez. I think you might see him run the ball more often this week because they're going to be down definitely Bilal Powell, who has been the top backup, who's actually run the ball reasonably well, and it looks like Nate Knight's going to be out too with a high ankle sprain. So they might need somebody other than Sean Green to run the ball.
If they do, they lose.
Chandler Jones is going to murder him.
Well, that's what Tebow. Andy and I have been telling you, and you keep saying, what if he unveils it? If I were the Patriots, I'd be praying
for
that.
What could argument?
No, but what are you envisioning? What could they unveil?
That's why I brought it up. I don't know. I said for the sake of argument.
There is nothing.
I don't have the answer.
The fullback runs up the middle.
You rarely do.
Long.
I'm looking
you rarely
to you.
Because there's nothing. Okay. You can't make stuff out of thin air. He's a fullback. That's all he is.
All right.
He's a full. Literally now, he's a fullback on the punt team.
You know,
that's
I,
all he
I
is.
I almost hope they win at this point.
Well, that's why I keep asking you. There'll be a little part of you that's like, yeah, we're 3-4, but I'm really going to stick it to Indian Paul
right,
on Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't asked yet. Are you mentally prepared?
No.
Not
He's
at
not.
All.
No, yeah, okay. He said it on Tuesday. I think you asked him on
it's
Tuesday.
It's a long time ago in Andy's mind.
I'm not mentally prepared to lose this.
This game would be suicidal.
Yeah.
It's like yesterday they were making fun of me. How's sunshine.com? How is everything down there? I go, a little cloudy this week.
Travis is in Tennessee. Didn't we get Merriweather due to the Rodney Harrison injury? So they felt they were forced to replace that position?
No, what injury? What injury?
I guess the one in Tennessee where he got racked up, the cheap
Harrison
shot.
Was ready to go in,
I don't know,
2000.
Paul, you're the, you know, the
I'm
history.
The Rodney guy.
Yeah, you're the history.
Well, you're also the guy with the memory on this show.
Right.
Well, I do remember, Fred's right, that there was a hit in Tennessee at the end of the 06 season that Bobby Wade or someone...
Right. Yeah, it was a
kind of
shot.
It was a low block.
The whole game was a bunch of cheap shots.
Yeah, that's Jeff Fisher. I think that's him in a nutshell.
And wasn't that when he took HGH?
But that's not why you drafted. But you didn't draft him because of that.
Yeah.
Do you know? You didn't draft Merriweather because you knew he was going to be suspended 8 months later.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I think they drafted Ed Reed. They wanted Ed Reed. They wanted their version of a playmaking back end safety to combat passing offenses.
Louis in Chicago.
Louis.
Hey guys, I was just emailing in to ask if you guys have noticed that the D-line is stunting a lot more. But again, my question comes up, why do you think Bill doesn't blitz more? Both Spikes and Hightower bitch-slap people, so in all likelihood, they wouldn't be playing patty cake with the blockers.
Well, Hightower's out, and Spikes I'm lukewarm on as a blitzer. I know a lot of people think he's phenomenal at it. I don't really see it as much as other people do, I guess.
Harrison started 11 games in 07, so that means he missed, I'm pretty sure that's the year he missed the
four
first
games.
Four.
Due
so
to his Orlando
it was one game
enterprise.
That he didn't start.
Let's see. Joel.
That doesn't mean, though, he necessarily would have been healthy, right? He was coming back from the...
Yeah, I don't think that... I don't think one equals two there. I don't think that was... we need to draft somebody because Rodney might not be ready
it's
at the start
like
of the
Dom
season.
Capers was our backup head coach.
Joel,
right.
Joel has some guys that the Patriots passed up in the draft. Said,
how your mind works, I'll never figure out.
He says in 2002 they took Daniel Graham over Ed Reed.
2002? Yeah. It's a decade ago. That career could be over.
2009 they passed over Clay Matthews, LeSean McCoy, Connor Barwin, and Jarris Bird.
Wait, what are we talking about now? I thought we were talking about DBs.
Yeah,
we
2009
were.
They passed over Mike Wallace. This is just a few, but there are more. I love
I
my
know
pass
every team misses on players. Right. I'm talking about DBs. Tell me the cornerbacks specifically you want them to draft who would be great right now.
The Mike Wallace one, I believe there was a receiver that we took right around that time, just before Wallace, obviously. We were looking for a receiver. And we
I'm
took,
sorry, was
I
our offense a problem?
Price.
Yes, was our offense a problem, though? We were talking about corners.
No, the whole
we were talking about they've taken six cornerbacks or whatever in the first two rounds, defensive backs, and it hasn't worked out. But who could they have taken instead that would have worked out?
Right. The whole this whole issue was all about defensive backs.
VIP Stripper says that Andy said he didn't like Bo because of the drops, but the 3 years before 2012. Brandon Marshall, Wes Welker, and Roddy White all had more drops than.
Yeah, I don't buy the whole drops as statistic. It's so subjective.
Well, not only that, but how many more times does Wes Welker and Brandon Marshall get the ball thrown to them than Dwayne Bowe does?
And it's also when you drop them.
Right. I've seen Dwayne Bowe drop passes in the end zone at Gillette Stadium.
The infamous game, the Brady injury game. Dwayne Bowe, to me, single-handedly lost that game for Kansas City.
See, I just throw things out there because I have a memory. Paul fills in details.
Mike from Ottawa.
That's why we're the touchdown
that was the game that started the 08 season when Brady got hurt.
I couldn't have told you that. I knew I had seen Dwayne Bowe, as a Chief, drop important passes in the end zone here.
Now, the part that I'll make fun of Andy about is, because of that game, he now has written off Dwayne Bowe forever. Right. That is what you do.
He had
the same
one
as me.
Great year where he had whatever it was, 14 touchdowns or whatever, and seemed to catch them all. I think he is a very inconsistent guy. For $50 million, if I'm going to pass over Mr. Consistency, Wes Welker, to hand Dwayne Bowe $50 million and then watch him drop key passes, I think that's a bad move.
He's a very gifted guy. There's no doubt about it. But his consistency would be called into question. I would roll the dice on that one because I think
How would he fit with Brady? Is he going to run the 7 yard in cut at 6.5, or is he going to be at 7? Because if he runs it at 6.5, he'll be blackballed.
I think Ryan Mallett could get him the ball on a consistent basis.
Mike from Ottawa, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for yesterday's broadcast, the overall football talk logic, and your overall response to other fans. Even the people who were calling yesterday, it was the best PFW show I've ever heard.
Told you it was a good show, Fred. I was walking up. I said that was a good show.
We did. We were all patting ourselves on the back mightily after that show.
Quick addendum to the Michael Hawley thing.
Well,
I listened to
I'm not done with the email, but go ahead.
I'm just chiming in on yesterday's show.
Yes.
I think it was much overblown. Maybe they usually get kid gloves from Bill Belichick, but I didn't think he said anything with any tone or delay or any that he doesn't say every day in press conferences.
I thought there was delay.
Maybe fans got their eyes open. Maybe they don't listen to a lot of press conferences. You got your eyes open to what we deal with every day and why Eric won't talk to him anymore.
I'm telling you, he was tweeting while the show was on. That's
he was not
he
tweeting.
Was distracted. With all that said, this is still Mike. Here's a question for a different direction. How would you draft this draft just pure position-wise? What would improve the Patriots the most, and where do you get which talent? Personally, I would go first round in defensive lineman or corner in the first round, whichever is available to me at the time. Second round, I would turn to safety.
Yes,
I think safety play is the Patriots' biggest issue. Whenever you are giving out big plays, it's usually less about cornerbacks and more about safeties as the last line of defense. However, the good news is that this year's draft will have the deepest safety draft in many years. Part of the reason why last year there was no talent in safety position is the draft last year is because they all held back for the draft this year. I think you can find stud talent for safety second or even third round this year, assuming teams draft like they do normally, which is not to put a lot of stock in safeties early on. Last of all, an interior lineman or a tackle in the third round for development.
Well, I will say Harrison Smith is being given every ounce of credit for turning the Vikings around.
Absolutely, and he's a guy that I didn't like a lot.
Me either.
But he is being drawing all kinds of praise on NFL Network.
And Mark Barron I'll take any day.
And a lot of those shows. Barron is a guy everybody loved.
But we knew there was a drop-off last year after Barron and certainly after Harrison Smith. But I don't necessarily agree with the safety thing, that be-all, end-all. All right, so maybe it's a 50-yard play instead of a 70 or whatever. The problem they have, in my opinion, is they can't cover people on the outside, cornerbacks. They can't flat-out cover.
Wally from Texas
and
New Hampshire. Hey, guys, when is Mallett going to get a shot? I don't have any faith in Brady's decision-making anymore. Two Super Bowl losses for lack of a fourth-quarter drive. Same this year, nothing in crunch time except bad decisions. Yes, the D stinks, but the O is a lot better than Brady is letting it be. Just a thought, if he retires now in 5 years, Hall of Fame. Yeah, well, that goes
that
without
will,
saying. But
whatever year you say that, in 5 years, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Is that officially the first Mallett call? The call for Mallett?
Well, Paul called for it a few minutes ago. He wanted Bo to catch passes from Mallett.
Just I'm looking in the future, and I was making a joke.
That is officially the first call for Mallett that I have heard.
Yes.
I've heard some people say I'm done with Brady or he's lost his touch, but not specifically said it's time for Mallett.
The numbers, I think people are focusing too much on some of these numbers that are coming out. We talked about how it's such a small sample because the Patriots don't lose. They're not in these situations very often. They don't lose a lot of games. But I think in the first whatever many years from 01 to through 07, through the end of the 07 season, they were something like 39-10 in games decided by a touchdown or less. And since then, since he came back from his injury in 08, so 09 through now, they're 12-12 in those games. So he's lost more games since he came back from injury right. that were close than he had his entire career to that point. I just don't think that – I look at the list of problems that the Patriots have.
But they had better defenses back then.
But I look at the list of problems the Patriots have, and he's so far down on the list. Now, I'm not completely blind to the things that he's done wrong, and I think to do that is wrong. But I don't know how you can sit there and say I don't have any faith in his decision-making, for example.
Right. What the decision to hit Aaron Hernandez in the hands was a terrible
but
one.
Even if you forget about the last drive.
I don't know if you've noticed, that's really left a mark with me.
I know. I'm waiting for you to write another documentary and put my name on it. What about the rest of the game? Like, how much does Brady cover up that you don't even know? Like, how do you get these 13-point leads with 7 minutes to go? Do you think that just anybody would do that?
Right.
You think Ryan Mallett would have had a 23-10 lead the other day? Maybe he would have. I don't know. I haven't seen that in preseason or in training camp. I haven't seen the ability that he had. I certainly didn't see it with Brian Hoyer before they cut him. So I just Brady to me is just so far down the list of problems.
The stuff that he does, you know, we just take for granted because it seems so routine. But we're just so lucky to have him.
But he's not immune to make
fans,
mistakes.
I love you, man.
Fans are just ridiculous.
Don't pick on my Tommy.
Nate in Idaho says, I heard Jaws on ESPN this week say that the NFC is clearly dominant over the AFC. He suggested this because there are only two teams in the AFC right now with winning records, Baltimore and Houston. Okay. Is the NFC a better conference because they have more teams with winning records, or is the AFC a better conference because everyone is battling evenly?
I think the NFC is a better conference because when
they're better.
When Green Bay goes to Houston, they slap them around.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. I just look at the teams.
Yeah, I just think there's more good teams. But yeah. I think that's Exhibit A of, you know, there's mediocre 3-3 teams that are slapping around.
But I think that might balance it out as the year goes on. I just look at the teams and who do you think's better? And
I think there's more good teams in the NFC than there are in the AFC. Let's put it that way. I don't think there's going to be a team that's left out of the playoffs in the AFC that could do damage. I think there's going to be an NFC team or two that won't make the playoffs.
Well, that NFC West this year.
That could probably do some damage.
What if the Patriots get left out of the playoffs?
Then I wouldn't say that they could have done damage if they don't make the playoffs.
Vince Wilfork will.
Tim in Baltimore says, I think we're going to be okay this season because the Patriots
we're done.
Don't play a team named after a bird for the rest of the year. But I have a question about what the backfield is going to look like this Sunday now that Bolden may not play. Will Ridley be... get all the early down carries and Woodhead still be the third down back, or will Vereen get more carries? I keep hearing what a great receiver Vereen is. Why can't he get on the field more? And also, what is the biggest weakness in the Jets' defense?
I think run defense. I think you can run right over them.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is Revis, because I think that they used to be able to sit there and say against the team that wanted to run the ball, we can get more guys around the line of scrimmage because we have Revis and Cromartie out there, and we can lock up some guys on the outside and not really be worried about it. Well, now you only have one of those guys to do that with, and if you want to single up Wes Welker, I think you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you try to stack the box to try to stop the run.
All right. It's time now for the picks. This week's PFW In Progress picks are brought to you by Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
And Fred Kirsch. You want fat shoulders, get a steak and cheese.
I don't like the Subway steak and cheese. They have other stuff that's better.
Oh, yeah, you like some chicken, huh?
Yeah, the
teriyaki or something.
Yeah, it's very good.
Very, and I know you like the bread. The best thing to do with Subway is bread.
I guess before we do the picks, Eric is just walked in from an excursion out to the practice fields.
Tan waffle.
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
Sorry about that.
So how you doing?
Late start to practice today.
Late start?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why so?
I don't know. Everything was late.
You'll have to ask
Locker room that ended at 12 didn't because players didn't arrive till 12.
Well, that's good, though, because we got to talk to Hernandez. Yes. Who was not at practice.
Uh-oh.
Nor was Logan Mankins.
Really?
I don't know why I'm talking like these still. But, what happened to my mic?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
I hear you.
Who's doing that? Who's screwing
Five us? Players. Those two that I just mentioned. Gregory continues to be absent, even though he said the other day he was hopeful.
And day-to-day. Does not have a Pat Patriot helmet.
Hanging in his locker? That's unfortunate.
Let's get Elvis.
That's
Unless
unfortunate.
He takes the field looking unlike his other teammates.
That would be a little awkward, wouldn't it?
Oh, did I memo?
Wait, what? Brandon Bolden remains out, and Tracy White remains out.
He also has no chance.
Along with Hernandez and Mankins.
And Mankins today, yeah.
That's problematic.
A lot of missing practice time for Mankins this year after not ever, like, what did he have, one missing practice last year, and that was the first time ever?
Get a little cold there, Eric?
Excuse me. No, I go swimming on Wednesday nights, and usually the next day the chlorine is still sort of like...
Just Wednesday you swim.
Or on the road when we have, you know, a hotel that has...
I don't know. Is this a group that you swim
No.
with? No.
Nope.
Just go by... Is this at the Y down in...
No, we have a rec center in
YWCA.
Town.
Well, you keep saying we. I'm wondering if this...
I didn't say we. I said I go swimming on Wednesdays.
No, you said we have a rec center.
Yeah, my town.
Oh, your town.
Yeah.
So you swim with your town?
Yes.
Now, do you swim downhill or up?
All 35,000 people.
I didn't know if this was like a group that gets together and swims.
Yeah, it's an uphill pool.
I didn't know.
Then you walk back.
And we walk back down.
I didn't know if it was a swimming group that you have.
No, I don't. I just...
Just by yourself?
Yeah.
Are there other people swimming when you swim?
Yeah, usually.
Girls?
Some. Yeah.
So do you pick...
Paul's watching a tennis match over here.
Do you pick Wednesday for a certain reason?
No. It's just convenient for my schedule.
Is it the regular people that are there, same people every Wednesday?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you should try Tuesday. Maybe there's hotter girls or something.
This is unfortunate. I really was waiting for the punchline. It never came. I was waiting.
What?
Are you the youngest person who swims?
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Am I the youngest person who swims?
In the world?
No. I just don't picture Wednesday night swimming being like crowded with young, hot co-eds.
Never know.
No, there are some. Yeah, actually, there are some.
He's making it up now.
No,
You're not making fun of him for swimming, are you?
No. I just think this Wednesday night weekly routine, I can't picture that's the place to pick up babes.
No, the pool is actually very crowded because there are, it opens at like 6 in the morning.
It's the geriatric gymnastics class.
No, there's the before work crowd, the people that want to exercise before work, and it's jam-packed, so I never go in the morning because it's way too packed. And then throughout the day, it's like the high school uses it for the swim team. There's like a youth league.
That's right up your alley.
All that. But then at night, there's people who, you know, after work crowd, which is a lot less than the before work crowd. Right. So I usually go then. But there's some college and high school kids that still swim.
Do you wear
a
Speedo?
No, sir.
No, sir?
No.
Anybody wear a Speedo anymore?
The Europeans. Yeah.
Like that commercial with the fat guy walking down the beach. Yeah. Like
even the Olympic guys, they wear
the long, like, younger man, yeah. No? Yeah.
But nobody wears Speedos anymore.
Well, they shouldn't. They're disgusting.
Yeah.
Banana hammock.
All right. any other news for
us? Not to be confused with the banana and the tailpipe, right?
Any other news for us, Eric?
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
They were in shells. It was a nice day outside. when you only get to watch stretching, it's really...
Right. The news of the week is...
Who's there and who's
they
not.
They have two practices this week, and one of them is already being missed by a pair of key players. That's the news of the week.
Right. One's a walkthrough and one's being missed.
We learned last... Was Brady out there?
Yeah, he was. Why? Did you think
I
he
hear,
was
like, static.
Well, I thought there was a... Yeah.
That's what I was trying to raining. Figure out. Hang on, I thought, let me try to fix Eric's mic.
Since he was there for the walkthrough, he obviously wasn't on yesterday's injury report as being limited. I assumed he would be today.
You thought they were going to play the game and move it a day.
Something.
Right. I see what you're
saying. And they might still. Might still say limited Brady.
They might. Yeah.
I agree. I am expecting to see him. That's why.
There's your girl, Shalice.
The injury report yesterday was as useless as it could get. I mean, much more useless than the normal one.
Tite Sonnyboul.
Oh, that's better.
Much better. He unplugged.
Because the mic is not.
He's blowing it.
Okay, put it on.
That was Kevin who was blowing
better.
The mic.
Yeah. So you just blow on.
He was blowing Eric's mic.
Kevin, I mean, Eric wanted to make sure, and rightly so, that he wasn't the one accused of blowing anybody.
That's high-tech repair. You just blow on the equipment.
That too.
All right.
It's like the old Nintendo.
Paul, what happened last week with the picks? I think I won, correct?
yeah, no.
What?
I don't have the...
Why does he always say yeah before he says no?
I don't have the
Bill
whole
Belichick.
Yeah.
What?
There's something wrong with my... I didn't record this properly, but I have the season totals.
But Paul's winning.
The season totals to this point. Yeah. You know what? Let's just skip it. I think I was on drugs of some sort.
You and Steve McNair.
I messed something up. So let's just move on.
So maybe I did win.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
I believe.
I'm still winning.
No, with the spread.
He has no bleeping idea what's going on.
No, because I had to change notebooks this week, and I copied stuff, and I know I'm just looking at the numbers. They don't coincide. So I know they're wrong, and I have to go back and check my other notebook. But I can tell you that
Paul's winning.
No, Fred, Andy, and Paul went 5-9 last week with a spread,
wow.
And Eric went 4-10.
It's a good week.
I don't have the overall numbers because mine is not right. But we all struggled last week. I believe I was 8-6, but it says 11-3 here, so it kind of fosters Andy's.
Knows he was 8-6, but he wrote 11-3
because I think I did was I
think you cheated like you've been cheating for weeks.
I think I copied the previous week from the notebook into this one,
yeah.
And the numbers do not add up. So
by the way, anytime
I will
you
check
do
on
that, you can.
and Fred is absolutely correct. I will secede.
All right, let's start with the Thursday night game, 8:20. Actually kicks off at 8:33.
And don't fall for that CeeLo song they play three times.
Seattle.
Three times they play.
I do want to hear it. I've never heard it.
Oh, it's terrible.
I have no interest.
Well, I want to be able to say it's terrible.
Seattle.
When I leave. No, but
I want to be able to say it's terrible. Well, much like I don't want to think I'm right about Ross Idaling. I want to be right.
Well, right. I think he's a big, stiff corner who probably needs to play safety, but we've yet to prove that because he doesn't play.
Might he play safety?
Seattle at San Francisco.
Sure.
Okay. Seattle, San Francisco by 7.
You might want to spray. I will take the San Francisco 49ers to bounce back. I think they were embarrassed. That defensive front can be overwhelming at times, so I wouldn't want to be Russell Wilson. I think he's going to get his comeuppance that the Patriots could not give him.
Yeah.
Spread? 7.
7?
I'll take it.
The Niners aren't looking as impressive to me as they were a few weeks ago.
It's because they play in the National Football League, and when you're anointed the best team in football, you're due to suck because the league blows.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
I got sucked in blown.
I will take the Niners.
Sentence.
I will take the Niners to win, but let me have that numbered, Paul. I think the Seahawks will keep it close.
Okay. I think the Niners win this game in a laugher. I think that Pete Carroll has spent the week.
He's pumped and jacked.
Congratulating himself and being all excited about their win.
He was congratulating Felix Baumgartner.
Yeah, I think Seattle.
Let's get jacked up for this one.
Seattle,
man.
3 days after having to travel out to San Francisco, down to San Francisco, I should say, and feeling way too good about themselves, I think they get blowed out.
Well, you've heard about the Super Bowl hangover. That's what the Seattle Seahawks are going to have. This, they won the Super Bowl last week, so now they have the hangover. And they're going to lose this game to the San Francisco 49ers.
Andy, you want a taste of this music, Andy?
By over
what do you
7.
Got?
What is this?
I don't know.
It's CeeLo.
Oh, that's the song?
That's all they do. Do you love football?
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
Yeah. This is the intro to Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, it's awful.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's one of the worst things I've ever heard. That makes that new age San Diego Chargers song look tremendous.
All right, that's enough.
And this has far more dislikes than it has likes on YouTube.
I mean, that's how sometimes fans at like the end of the year will be like, "I made this Patriots song, and it always sucks."
Right.
That's way worse than anything I've ever heard.
It's terrible.
He got paid to do that.
Yeah,
and I mean that's a song that any of us five.
Oh, by the way,
sing.
Beyonce
could yell
halftime
at
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was just
Prego or
again. Did you see Fred's
again?
Eyebrows perk up right there.
Sure.
Fred's a big fan.
Hi there.
Well, who isn't? I mean, she's pretty hot.
She's pretty hot.
A little overrated, but pretty hot. Her
yeah.
boobs are weird because sometimes they look tiny
yes.
and sometimes they look really nice.
Yes, you're right.
See, Fred's with me eye to eye.
Yes.
Well, isn't it like
surprisingly,
like,
Fred knows
well,
about boobs
cans,
and not
right.
you know,
and then they
the
just
unit.
Go somewhere.
Right.
They can work a lot of magic with push up and
oh,
tape.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and you would think that Jay-Z by now would have paid for something, right?
Maybe he likes I know, because she doesn't have her own money.
Well, plus, he might. Maybe he's an ass
she
man
couldn't
and
afford
doesn't
it.
Care.
Oh, maybe.
Not a lot of people like the fake cans, I don't think, on like wives. It's
yeah.
more like you want to see a stripper with them.
Yes,
but, like, you don't
I
really
agree.
Want to.
Unless it's your third wife. And then.
Yeah. Right, and then she's not really your right. wife. She's right. a stripper.
Trophy.
She's a stripper.
What, Eric?
I was just stretching.
Tennessee at Buffalo, Sunday at 1. Tennessee at Buffalo.
Buffalo by 3.
Oh. I am going to take Buffalo to win this game. They're not as bad as I make them out to be, and they got the win last week, so I'll take them at home because, I don't really like Tennessee.
I'll take them at home, too. But I really don't like it. Something tells me that the Bills are going to lay an egg and that the Titans are going to win.
The league blows, and all these teams, you could pick either way, and you're probably going to go 50-50 most weeks.
Sticking with my theory, two bad teams. I'll take the home team, Buffalo.
I'll take the Buffalo as well. Sunday at 1, Dallas at Carolina. Dallas at Carolina.
Dallas by 2.
I'm going to pick against the most overrated player in the National Football League, Cam Newton, who says still plenty of time for them to get the ship righted and going in the right direction. Patooey. You'll drop a game to an equally patooey team.
I was impressed with how the Cowboys played at Baltimore. They showed me something that I didn't think they really had against a pretty good team. So I think they do it again this week. They go to Carolina and they win a game they're supposed to win.
I will stick with my theory. Two bad teams. I'll take the home team. Carolina.
Really? I'm going to go with Dallas. I've given up on the Panthers.
Oh, your MVP? Yeah. You've cut ties with your MVP? I don't think he's going to win the MVP, Fred.
I've cut ties. Baltimore at Houston, Sunday at 1. Baltimore at Houston.
Baltimore at Houston.
That's a Sunday at 1 game?
Yes, it is.
Now, the Ravens are 5-1. Is that their record?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Don't they have the least amount of respect for a 5-1 team? I mean, everyone thinks they're done.
It's because they just lost three starters. Yeah.
I know, but they won last week, right?
No, I know, but they got decimated at the same time.
It's a little bit more extreme, but the Jets are the same thing. The Jets are 3-3 like the Patriots, but because they lost everybody, they have no chance.
Right.
Even though they're in the hunt.
People are projecting down the road, and I mean, it was already a defense that was really atypical of Baltimore. They're like 28th in the league.
Yeah.
That's very un-Baltimore-like numbers, and now they lost Lewis and Webb and not a Torres MCL.
Ed Reed says he's got a torn labrum.
Torn labrum in his shoulder.
Report. So,
what's John Harbaugh doing? Manipulation.
Houston by 6.5.
I will take. This is a 1 o'clock game. I'm going to say. Yes,
correct.
So it's a noon game.
No, but shouldn't this be like a primetime game? I mean, two of the better teams in the AFC from last year, shouldn't they be playing in a big game?
In line with Fred's theory about the lack of respect for these two teams.
No, they have to get Lions and Bears in there.
That's
the Monday night game. There you go.
I will take the Houston team to bounce back. I know I'm reading things that their D-line not playing well other than Watt and blah, blah, blah. Baltimore is done. I just don't think they have enough talent overall to overcome all these injuries, especially on defense. And I think you'll see Arian Foster. You'll see Houston put up some big points in this game, and Flacco won't be able to keep up.
Yeah, and, Texans are embarrassed. I think
embarrassed
by the Packers. I think they're going to want to make up for that, and they get a team that's limping into this contest. So I'll take Houston to win and cover.
Quoth the Raven.
I agree with the boys. I think Houston right now is the better team, and they will bounce back. Being at home, I thought last year these two teams were really even without Matt Schaub playing. I'm still not sold on the Texans. I got to tell you, still not sold. But I think they're catching Baltimore at a good time.
Yeah, this is one of those games where I'm picking the team I really want to win, as Paul would say, Houston. I really want them to beat Baltimore.
Why?
I just don't like Baltimore. Cleveland at Indianapolis.
I think there's a theory that you should be rooting for Houston as a Patriot fan because you still play them and you can beat them.
Can
yourself.
You?
Why not?
Because your secondary blows.
Cleveland at Indianapolis.
Luckily,
they can't throw it. So
I've been telling you that for weeks. The league blows.
Go ahead.
Cleveland at Indy.
There have been an 8-8 versus 8-8
Super Bowl.
Indy
by
3.
Gotta hurry.
Who's
Indy
playing?
Indy by 3. Cleveland at Indy. Indy by 3.
I'll take Indy. I like Luck on my side.
Yeah, I took the Colts last week, and they screwed me, but I think they're in a more evenly matched game here, so I'll take them to win.
It's twice you got screwed last week, huh?
Well, who else?
Well, Saturday night, that party with the dark-haired braided girl who's kind of cute. Hey, how old is she?
20s.
Told you. That's all he goes for.
I will take Indy as well.
I'm gonna.
It's like Danny Woodhead thinking he can outjump Moss for the ball.
I'm gonna go with Cleveland.
Find a matchup you can win,
Fred. You're starting to crack me up with that every week.
Arizona at Minnesota. Arizona at Minnesota.
Minnesota by 6.
Ooh.
Minnesota by 6.
Over.
Arizona's at Minnesota. Minnesota by 6.
I'm gonna say Minnesota bounces back here. Although that's a tough defense for my guy Ponder to do it against. I know you think they just flat out stink, but I have my concerns around Patrick Peterson and that pressure a little bit up front. But I'll take the home team because I think these are two middling teams, and I'll take my home squad.
I'll take the home squad, too, for similar reasons.
Maybe Jordan Todman will play.
This is a tough one for me. My theory is tested. Two bad teams. I'll take the home team. I will do that for the winner. I will take Minnesota to win, but I will take the points. 6 points seems like a lot. Mm-hmm. I agree with Andy that the Cardinals' defense is pretty good. Be tough for Ponder. So I will take Minnesota to win. I'll take the 6 points.
I'm going to take Arizona to knock Minnesota off their perch. Washington at the Giants. Washington at the Giants.
Washington at the Giants. Giants by 5.5.
Washington.
I am going to take – I don't like this because Washington coming off obviously a huge win that they were really talking it up after that game too. And, you know, you got to beat the man, you want to beat the man and all that crap. They, you know, not quite to the Pete Carroll Seahawks level.
Oh, the Giants, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that concerns me because I don't think they're an overly mature team. You don't lose as many games as they lose every regular season if you're a mature team. And RG3 scares me. He's becoming one of those guys where you just say, well, when he's on the field, you – that team has a chance because he can do whatever he wants as long as he's not concussed. But I'm going to take the better all-around football team, and that's the Giants at home.
Yeah, I hate to do it because I really don't like the Giants.
I don't either. They really started to rub me the wrong way. Their whole thing.
But they're the better team, and they're at home, so I got to go with them to win and cover.
RG3.
I will take the Giants, but I will take the points. I think Washington has given them a lot of trouble over the years, and with RG3, I can see him giving them some problems. So I'll take the points, but I think the Giants will find a way to squeak it out.
What's that number
home.
Again?
5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants both ways. Okay. Sunday at 1.
Excellent analysis.
Green Bay at St. Louis.
Green Bay by 5.5.
Green Bay at St. Louis. You know, the Rams might be looking ahead to their big matchup across the pond with the Patriots. And Aaron Rodgers starting to get it done. So I'm just going to go with Aaron Rodgers, best player on the field, gets it done.
The number again, Paul?
5.5.
I will take the Packers to win on the road.
Why do you pretend you're thinking when you read it off that sheet?
Because I'm thinking about the number. I know who I'm going to pick. I'm thinking about the number. Something tells me the Rams keep it close at home, so I'll take them with the points.
One of the best defensive end young duos in the league.
I will take the Packers to win in a laugher.
I'm going to take the Packers also to cover. Final Sunday at 1. A lot of Sunday at 1 games this week.
Because some of them should be in primetime.
New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
New Orleans by 3.
At Tampa Bay.
Oh, this is an interesting game. No coach, new coach. Physical versus air it out. I'm going to take Tampa Bay to win this. I'm not sold on New Orleans yet. I'm just saying not their year all the way around.
It's not their year, but I think they start to turn around a little bit in this game. It's a division game. It's a road game. People think that they're done completely. So I think they fight a little bit. I think they win and cover in this game.
They're going to rally.
Yeah, I'm going to go against my two bad teams, take the home team theory here. I'm going to take New Orleans. I think Eric is right. They're going to continue to play hard until they lose another one. And then that'll be it because they'll figure, it's too much of a hill to climb. But right now, I think they're looking at it as if we can do this or we could do that, we can get back in this thing. And I say that they're better than Tampa Bay and they'll win this game.
Okay. I'm going to take New Orleans. There are only two late afternoon games this week.
Okay.
And one of them is Jacksonville at Oakland, 4:25 start.
Oakland by 4.
I'll take Oakland. They're a better all-around football team. I won't feel great about it.
I'm going with Paul's theory here. Two bad ones, go with the home club, win cover.
I think there's no more that needs to be said. I don't know if I'll be taking Jacksonville all year unless they play a very bad team and they're at home.
Oakland,
Colts
all the way
at
around.
Jacksonville, has that already happened?
The Colts might not be too bad a team by that point.
All right, Sunday night, 8:20, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Oh, the AFC North.
Pittsburgh by 1.5.
1.5. Pittsburgh on the decline.
Fred said with his fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Where is this? Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Not Cleveland.
I am gonna
take Pittsburgh. I think this is a pretty even slug it out matchup, but I'm just gonna go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're more consistent, more reliable in games like this. I'll take them to win.
Yeah, I agree. This is a tough game. I think they're pretty evenly matched, but I will take the Steelers to bounce back.
I am going to take Cincinnati as well.
Fred saw boobs, so he was distracted.
Although,
I tell you, it's really hard to figure out who Fred's going to pick in these games, too.
Monday night, Detroit at Chicago.
Detroit.
Detroit at Chicago.
Chicago by 6.
Okay, here's one where I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just picking because of the Wilson-Hart Power Index, and I can't have my number two team take a bad loss at this point, so I need the Bears to win, so I'm taking the Bears to win.
They're not going to win. They are a good team. They still have that question with Cutler, is whether or not he's their leader, you know, a true quarterback leader.
Whether or not he goes drinking before the game.
Well, just whether or not guys rally around him. You know, I think they still have that question. I think the Lions are now starting to feel like they're getting a little confidence, and I think they go on the road. They win a tough division game in prime time. This is a big game for the Lions. They win.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to take Chicago. I'm going to go with the home team, but I can see the scenario that Eric just unfolded there. I'm going to take Chicago.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to take Chicago in this game. All right, so now we go back to Sunday at 4:25.
Paul, take us back, please.
The Jets.
Thank you.
Taking on the Patriots in Gillette Stadium, 4:25. Paul, what's the number?
10.5.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Andy.
I'm going to take the Patriots to win and cover. I think they established the run early. I don't think the Jets can stop the run, and I think the Patriots will put up a lot of points in this one, but I do have the fear of my guy, Stephen Hill, just running uncontested down the field and Sanchez just lobbing it up. Because I wanted us to draft him. I like him. I didn't, you know, listen to all the crap rumors about him. I wanted to draft him. I think he's a good developmental deep play receiver, and he's already making plays for them. And if you can make plays down the field, you certainly got a chance to do it against this team. That said, blowout Patriots. I am going to go 34-17.
That's a decent score. I like New England to win this game. I think they put pressure on Sanchez, who doesn't really have much time to throw the ball up for grabs for Stephen Hill and Jeremy Curley downfield. And I think we see a lot more Tebow than Andy probably would like. But the Patriots still win by 14 to 17 points, so I'll take them to win and cover.
Yeah, I think the Patriots get up early and often. I'm with Eric and Andy, and they run the ball, get a big lead, and you make Sanchez have to throw the way Russell Wilson did last week, and I don't think he's even capable of doing that. So I think this is a big win, 38-20.
I think I agree. New England wins 41-17. Patriots
41-17.
So,
but he's rooting a little bit for Tebow.
That's the picks for this week. John, Rook, what do you think?
Jets 24-23.
Oh, wow, really?
That was last week. That was last week's score. That was the Seattle score.
Yeah, I know.
They lose again by the same score?
I have to admit I was leaning that way all week.
Really?
Yep.
Really? Wow. So the Jets are going to just,
the,
you know,
3-4 New England Patriots.
Play tough.
Possibly.
Okay.
Heading to London.
Well, folks, you heard it here first. You have 2 hours to dissect John's pick and tell him what fur.
What fur?
The playbook's coming up.
Would you give him what fur?
Good luck the next 2 hours after that prediction.
Football Nation's coming at 4 o'clock. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday. Pre-game social Sunday. Don't forget.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.